Only 350 more to go. If I can get just 500 monthly subscribers, every show will be offered completely commercial-free. And we only need 350 more subscribers. So please, go to airamericaplace.com, click donate, and help make it possible.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, part-time Buddhas, delusional, self-centered, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, including those two women that emailed me the last 3 days. Look, if you don't like it, move along. Man boys and women girls, tops and bottoms of all kinds. Welcome! You're all invited under the great tent of Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio, except for people that don't email in criticism that's logical and not just attacks. Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark Maron. How was the weekend?
The weekend was great, man. We went to the first show of the Act for Vote for Change concerts down in Philly. It was me, Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, Brendan P.W. McDonald, and Kent Jones, the Wizard. And, of course, Larson, who now gets a new nickname.
Uh-oh.
Larson has risen. He's risen up. He's no longer Smarty Pants. He's no longer
Ignatius J.
No. It's now Jonathan Clutch Larson, man.
Wow.
Clutch.
Dude, he pulled through, man.
What was he clutching?
No, Riley, we're not going there.
Listen,
you want sophomoric, that goes to Riley. The emails that say sophomoric go to Riley. I don't want to hear about it. And I will not. Here's what happens. So we go down to the concert, dude. We get there like noon to Philly, and all these guys go take a nap, but I got to get on the train to go interview Mike Mills down at the Wachovia Center. I go interview Mike Mills, and hopefully we'll have some of that later. We're cutting it up now. So we come back, and we're going to the concert. Larson said one of the funniest things I ever heard in my life, man. We go down the subway, right, and we're all New Yorkers. You know, you get an attitude about New York, you know, because New York is the best. There's no denying about that. So we all get down to the subway to get our token, right, and the change machines aren't giving change. And you need to put change into the machines to get the token because it's not taking bills, right? So Larson goes up to the guy in the booth and says, can you give me change for the machines that's not taking bills? And he goes, no, you got to use the change machine. But I didn't hear what he said, and I go, what did he say? And Larson goes, I don't know, something about, like, his city's broken. Right? So we get on the train, dude. We get on the train, and sure enough, we're on the train for 15 minutes, and it's not moving. Then it goes one stop. We're on the train another 20 minutes. The countdown's happening. REM's supposed to go on at, like, 8:30. We already missed the first band, Bright Eyes, because I didn't really care one way or the other. Right? And on some level, I didn't care that much about REM, though I liked them more than I remembered liking them. Anyway, so we're on the train. The train's broken. Everyone gets asked to unload off the train. They got shuttle buses, and there's no way we're going to make the concert. It's ridiculous, but I'm not freaking out because, again, I'm either way with it. You know what I mean? I would have freaked out if I was with different people, but I figure it's the weekend. I freak out here every day. Why not give them a break, you know, on the weekend? So sir, we're sitting there waiting for these shuttle buses that are non-existent. Everybody who's on the train is flagging cabs down, so there's no cabs. And I'm starting to give up. I'm like, it's not going to happen. It's hilarious. We came down here to see Springsteen and REM, and it's not going to happen. And then Larson, either on suggestion from PW, I don't know, or not, but Larson's friend is in town in Philly to see the concert, and he drove down, but he was going to take the train down. Larson calls him up and says, what's going on, man? The train is screwed up. Are you guys out there or what? And the guy was on the train before us, and he was going to get his car, so he was, like, literally around the corner. So the dude picked us up, drove us to the concert. We walked in right in REM's, like, third song, and we made it because of Clutch Larson, man.
Ooh, Clutch Larson. Clutch Larson.
He pulled through, man. We're there. We got to the concert. We walk in, and REM kicked ass. I mean, I've forgotten that, you know, I was once a sort of sensitive, poetic kind of, college student that was really into REM, and all the songs were good, and Stipe was weird.
They do What's the Frequency?
Did they do? No, I don't think they did What's the Frequency. No, they didn't. They did this.
I like
this.
It
is dedicated to the one I love. They did, what's some other ones they did, Larson? I'm not hearing Larson in my head. That's all right. Walk Unafraid. They did, well, they did a lot of good songs, and it was cool because on one of the songs, Springsteen came out before he went on, which takes a lot of, he's sort of a humble character, and played with him on one song and sang a little bit, and that was great. And then apparently before the concert, he told the audience of Philadelphia, he said, like, no Brucing, all right? I want you all to behave yourself or I'm going to come out here and take you over my knee. So he had to tell the Philadelphia audience and the New Jersey guys to not go Bruce during everyone else's set. Yet there was still some of that. The guy behind me during R.E.M. said, if it weren't R.E.M., people would be bruising so bad right now. You know? But R.E.M. was good. And then Springsteen came out. And I'd never seen him. And again, I was surprised at how many of the songs I knew. And he's got such a presence. And he's such a great entertainer. They plowed through the first. Pashman, come in here. They plowed through the first four songs in one, like, you know, montage.
One montage,
songs,
yeah.
Man.
I've seen groups do that, yeah.
And it was just powerful, you know, and I was surprised at how many I had passed from. What did they play those first four songs?
Oh, it was mind-blowing, dude. Mind-blowing. Springsteen came out and played the national anthem by himself on a 12-string acoustic guitar.
It was really good. He was just, like, bent over with that one light on him. It was pretty dramatic.
It was amazing. With his electric strap on his back.
Of course.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they went straight into Born in the USA, full-band version.
Yeah, right in. Right.
You know, which rocked, and then straight into Badlands.
Right.
It rarely plays so early in a show, but it's the perfect for setting the stage for this type of show. It was brilliant.
Yes. And then what happened?
And then into John Kerry's favorite song, baby, No Surrender.
And this is like in the first 10 minutes. So like within 10 minutes, everyone's like, oh my God!
Yeah.
My head's going to blow up.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Did the brother get to play anything?
Sure.
Just checking.
Tambourine.
See? Yo, I'm going to start a whole thing for Clarence Clemons, man. Because I think he gets shortchanged.
I don't
what,
get
he gets like one note a concert?
I don't get the feeling that he's complaining.
I mean, the check's clear,
jammed,
I'm sure.
He jammed. He
can I intercede here, please, Riley?
He played sax.
Not only does Clarence Clemons get his due, but he not only is the most popular member of the E Street Band, but I've seen Bruce Springsteen's contract rider whenever he goes on tour. And Clarence Clemons is the only member of the E Street Band that gets his own dressing room. And it is in the contract that halfway through every concert, a whole roasted chicken must be delivered to Clarence Clemons' dressing room so that there is a hot, whole roasted chicken awaiting him when he returns.
Roasted.
He has royalty on tour.
Roasted. Not fried.
Yes.
See that? See that? He's working against the stereotype.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And none of that other stereotypical black food, right? No collard greens or anything.
No,
so that's cool.
Just one roasted chicken.
Jersey tomatoes.
But that's not that specific. But I thought it was amazing. And then during Springsteen's show, John Fogerty comes out, Mark.
Oh.
John Fogerty comes out. He does Proud Mary, and he does Fortunate Son with Bruce.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Mind-blowing. His voice sounded exactly like it did in the 60s.
Wow.
Exactly.
He's still smoking, huh?
I don't know what it is, but he was having a great time. And then at the end, Stipe came back out and did Because Tonight Is... Because the Night, which is really...
It's a Patti Smith song, isn't it?
Well, Springsteen wrote it, but for him to do a duet with Michael Stipe for Because the Night, it was kind of loaded with some sort of weird homoerotic weirdness.
It was very interesting, yeah. Like when Max Weinberg, when he hits one of those, you know, when he's building it up on the drums, it's like every time you think he can't hit the drums any harder than he's already hitting them. When Stipe and Springsteen stepped up to the mic at the exact same time to hit into the chorus, it was awesome.
It was great, man. I mean, that was really kind of moving. But I was a little disappointed with the closer. You know, I mean, Born to Run was great, and they build was great. You know, it's Born to Run, you know, and you know all these songs.
They turn all the lights on.
Yeah, bam, and you can see everybody. Yeah. And then the closer was that Patti Smith song, The People Have the Power, which nobody really knows that song. And it wasn't a big hit, and they were trying to make a rallying call, but people were like, what song is this? You know?
Was Randy there?
I don't know if she was there. She might have been there. But you know, when people really got excited about R.E.M., it's amazing how people react to songs that they're really familiar with. When they went into Losing My Religion, everybody who wasn't, you know, they just stood up. You know, they were just like, yay. And I swear to God, the middle-aged couple in front of me, I thought that we're going to bust their hips.
Really?
But yeah, during Bruce Springsteen, they had pantomimes for songs. They were literally, they were building things in the air during songs, blowing kisses. It was unbelievable. So, dude... Look at this poll results. Now, I'm not one to obsess about polls if they're...
Oh, good. No, not you.
Yeah, so we're going to hit this stuff, and we're going to hit... what else we got coming up? We got a lot of good stuff coming up. We're going to do
the
polls.
Well, you know, the debate's tomorrow. The vice presidential debate.
Right. Satan versus the angel boy. Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to cover that stuff when we come back. It's 15 past the hour, Air America Radio. I I got an idea. Just a reminder, I don't want to pressure you, but you got to do this soon, all right? Register to vote, please. You can do it on morningsedition.com where it says register to vote. Thank you.
Are you sick and tired of your bathroom scale dictating your mood? If you're down a pound, great day, but watch out if you're up a pound or two or your clothes are a bit tighter. That is not a good day. If this sounds like you, then step off the scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle by calling 800-921-BURN. You know CortiSlim people. You run into those CortiSlim show-offs constantly. You hear how great and physically fit they feel and how they're going shopping for new clothes. Well, CortiSlim people have learned that at least part of their weight issues are related to stress and hormones. CortiSlim people don't drive themselves nuts because they've learned the balance of exercise, nutrition, diet, and supplementation. If you're ready, step off the scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle. Call now and get $20 off when you purchase 2 bottles of CortiSlim. $20 off 2 bottles. That's huge. Call 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
For the next few weeks, every water cooler conversation's gonna be about the election. Even though you're Mr. or Ms. Liberal, don't let Mary from accounting blindside you with her Republican diatribe.
Mary from accounting.
Get the facts and get the feel for what the right is saying. Laura Ingraham, she's savvy.
Savvy.
She's sharp, even though she swings to the other side.
Laura.
9 a.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific.
Ingraham.
On Sirius Patriot 141.
How does arguing with your spouse affect your kids? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Some family experts say that lots of arguing results in more aggression between kids. But there's an upside to observing conflict between parents. When you handle it properly, kids can learn how to discuss problems and how to resolve them. And they can see that relationships and family life improve as a result. So, it's okay to disagree openly and calmly with your spouse, as long as you respect and listen to one another. Focus on working toward a solution and not letting anger get the better of you. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, this is Bob here in Chicago. I will absolutely be voting for George Bush because the idea that John Kerry in the White House is selling our sovereignty to the UN and especially France just scares the bejeezies out of me.
Hi, my name's Barry Martin. I'm calling from Mason, Tennessee. I just wanted to say that I think John Kerry will make an excellent president. George Bush is a lying, thieving president, and we need to get rid of him. How come he wasn't impeached?
My name's Daryl from Blackfoot, Idaho, and I feel that Americans that do not vote should have their rights to free speech stripped away.
This is Terry in Schaumburg, Illinois. I just wish that everyone would go out and vote. Very important.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
My cravings have decreased. I'm calmer, less irritable, and I've been smoke-free for a month now.
This system really surprised me on how effectively and quickly it worked.
Smoke-free in 3 is strong against cravings mentally and physically, so you can stop for good. No stress, no jitters, no anxiety, and no more money wasted on cigarettes.
Call now for your trial of smoke-free in 3 at 1-800-304-1766. Stop smoking in just days, guaranteed. 800-304-1766. If you don't stop, we'll send you $100 to buy your next 2 cartons. Call 1-800-304-1766. That's 1-800-304-1766.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster. It's the stock market. But Barron's, America's premier financial weekly, can help you make money whichever way the market moves. Now you can get 13 weeks of Barron's plus the valuable guide to building wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call now, 800-858-5800. That's 800-858-5800 for Barron's.
Words for America. This is your wake-up call. That flag doesn't belong to any president. It doesn't belong to any ideology. It doesn't belong to any party. It belongs to all the American people.
It's not enough, my brother, to say that you have faith when there are no deeds. I am running for president because it's time to turn words into deeds and faith into action. Jobs that need to be created. I see families that need to be housed. I see violence that needs to be stopped. I see children that need to be taught and children who need to be cared for.
You don't value families by kicking kids out of after-school programs and taking cops off the streets. We believe in the family value of caring for our children and protecting the neighborhoods where they walk and they play.
We have an important message for those who question the patriotism of Americans who offer a better direction for our country. Before wrapping themselves in the flag and shutting their eyes to the truth, they should remember that when Americans stand up and say America can do better, it is the heart and soul of patriotism.
22 past the hour. Good morning, Boston. Welcome aboard. You're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We're in Boston now. I was in Boston for years. We'll talk about that later. I'm watching this thing on the Drudge Report. These guys are unbelievable.
Oh, the Kerry cheated part of the debate?
You know, it's like he didn't, like, what sore losers? You know what I mean? It's like, I'm looking at this thing. Yeah, he reaches into his jacket and touches his rabbit's foot, then grabs both sides of the podium. Or maybe he touches one of his purple hearts, or maybe one of his bronze stars. Maybe he does something, he reaches into his heroic pocket to get a little bit of mojo and places it. It's not clear that he puts anything on the podium. They're suggesting that he put notes or a pen or something else. And then from the left, I read recently there's some, you know, internet gossip going around, some chatter that says that Bush had an earpiece in. Well, you know, if Bush cheated with an earpiece and still did as badly as he did, then it's pretty amazing. Kalo on the board looking at it right now, what do you think? Is he putting something down? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe a pen.
Do people have lives here? I mean, from what I see in the Drudge Report, people have been running this whole bit of footage over and over and over and over again, trying to figure out what it is. Hey, your boy lost the debate. Move on.
Yeah, it's over.
All right.
Yeah.
No matter if he had taken a howitzer out of his pocket, Bush still would have lost the debate. So let's move on.
Apparently, you couldn't bring, you know, pens on or note pieces of paper, anything. Yeah, all had to be given to.
Like a jury trial or something? What's the problem?
No, it's just it was to protect the child.
Oh.
Bush was like, you know, I'm not going to be able to take any notes because, like, even when I wear my reading glasses, I look stupid.
You know what's amazing, Mark? This debate and its aftermath have lasted, I think, entirely longer than the Bush people had hoped. And longer, in fact, than perhaps the Kerry people even dreamt.
Yeah.
I mean, this was last Thursday, and people are still talking about the debate on Monday. Now, part of that has to do with the polling, which we all expected to come out in the wake of the debate.
Right.
And what the polling says is that whatever push George W. Bush got from the Republican convention, all of those 13 and 8-point and 14-point margins, gone.
Yeah.
In 60 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, literally.
90.
Well, yeah.
90 minutes.
90
gone
minutes.
In 90 minutes. Yeah. 90 minutes.
I mean, absolutely gone. Everybody is now saying, oh, it's a dead heat again among registered voters, according to Newsweek, 47 to 45. Kerry, 4 weeks ago, he had an 11-point lead in the same poll. USA Today, CNN, Gallup tied 49% each. Now, we all know that there are problems in the methodology of this polling. So when it was, you know, when Bush was 14 points up, and we question the methodology. Maybe we ought to question the methodology here as well. But what is important about this is that both camps have had to look at their strategies, particularly Bush's camp with an eye toward change, in the wake of these numbers. The first debate drew 62.5 million people, one-third more than the first debate in 2000.
That's amazing. That really, it says to me, Mark Riley, that a lot of people who are on the fence are checking in to see, you know, waiting. See, it was always my belief that even people that were slightly Republican or slightly pro-Bush or on the fence like that knew that this administration was dirty. You know, like with the way they behave around Kerry and the slanderous attacks they've made on our candidate, mm-hmm. and also just, you know, given all the questions around why the Iraq War started, now there's new intelligence out that said that they knew that the rods,
the aluminum rods, the tubes.
Third
yeah.
pillar of their defense for going to war is probably BS, and that's come at it under attack. But I think people have started to realize, even Republicans, not just the fiscal conservatives that are already upset with Bush, but other Republicans, you know, just sort of, you know, working class Republicans are starting to smell a rat in this administration. And I think they were all really waiting subconsciously for Kerry to step up, and he did. He had clarity, he had message, and he called Bush on his BS, he called him on the Osama thing, and it was really a great showing for Kerry.
Absolutely.
And all they can do is, like you said, that they've just got to train strategy, is that all they're thinking is, like, how can we hit him again? How can we attack him again? How can we attack his character? Tell the guys on the blog to, you know, to call him a cheater. Tell him to, you know, to pull up the internet footage of him reaching into his pocket and to make that some indication that the guy didn't deliver the other night.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing to watch these various spin machines trying to negate something that was obvious to virtually everyone who watched the debate. And for example, the LA Times says that Kerry is now up 49 to 47 among people who watched the debate last Thursday night. And what's interesting to me, Mark, is that, you know, both candidates and both campaigns say they don't watch polls, or they don't read polls, yet everyone reacts to polls. No matter how you look at it, every campaign reacts to polling news, whether
sure.
it's good news, bad news, or whatever. Now the stakes are high for Kerry because he has got to maintain the momentum that he had coming out of last Thursday. He's got a debate coming up this Friday, and this one is going to be, don't expect Bush to roll over and play dead just because he did badly on the first one.
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting because I think there is momentum, and I think that just in some of Kerry's stump speeches right now in Ohio and other places, he's really starting to hit the domestic issues,
yeah.
you know, the economic issues, and he's really starting to reach out to people who have lost their jobs, people who haven't really been able to see that, you know, Republican policy has put them out of work. And if he can make that clear, I mean, it's going to be a beautiful thing.
Well, he's out in the swing states hammering home this message. Places like Ohio that has lost, you know, six figures in jobs during the Bush years. And I think it's people starting to take a closer look. Some people who might have been firmly in the Bush camp are starting to take a little bit of a closer look at what John
exactly.
Kerry's saying. And that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
When we come back, the president's palm pilot, Jody Schneider from the Congressional Quarterly, looks at the week ahead on Capitol Hill and the all-important liberal agenda from the Streisand compound when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Crimes Against Nature, a new book by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., sets the record straight on George W. Bush, corporate greed, and the plunder of America. Crimes Against Nature makes the case that the administration has taken corporate cronyism to unprecedented heights, threatening our health, our national security, and our democracy. Al Franken calls Crimes Against Nature a passionate and devastatingly written attack on the Bush administration. Crimes Against Nature, the national bestseller by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Collins book, now available at bookstores and online at airamericaradio.com.
If you're in sales and aren't using WebEx, you could be losing money. Big money. With WebEx, the leader in web meetings, you get the interactivity of face-to-face meetings without the hassle and expense of flying or driving. And because WebEx meetings are so convenient, you'll make more sales presentations, which means bigger commissions for you. Go to WebEx.com for a 14-day free trial to see how powerful a WebEx sales meeting can be. Be where you need to be with WebEx meetings. Get started with a 14-day free trial. That's WebEx.com.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. More violence in Iraq. There was a car bombing near Baghdad's heavily guarded green zone, killing 15 people. More than 80 suffered injuries. It was the first of two bombings in the Iraqi capital. American Iraqi forces opened fire after the second bombing. Still unknown as who they were firing at. All eyes are focused on tomorrow night's debate between Vice President Dick Cheney and Senator John Edwards. Speculation has it that the gloves will be off in the verbal bout. Two new polls show the presidential race now to dead even, with the post-GOP convention bounce quickly evaporating for Bush in the past week. It seems John Kerry's performance at the first presidential debate turned its fortunes around with a stellar encounter with President Bush on the issues. And Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon threatens to step up his attacks at Palestinian strongholds in the Gaza.
His size and his speed make him one of the most dangerous wide receivers in the NFL. And Keyshawn Johnson's weekly radio show, heard exclusively on Sirius, takes you inside the game for a player's perspective. Back to last week's game. What went wrong? What went right? Then previews the upcoming Big Sunday game. Keyshawn Johnson taking it to the house. Thursday nights, 8 Eastern, NFL Radio, Sirius 124.
This is Earth and Sky. At the Miami Museum of Science and Planetarium, we got this question.
My name is Reina Mendez. I'm from Mexico. My question is, which star is the smallest?
Reina, it depends on whether you mean stars in the prime of life or dead stars. Some supernova explosions leave behind tiny neutron stars, thought to average about 20 kilometers or 12 miles in diameter. When stars like our sun die, they leave behind objects called white dwarfs. The smallest white dwarf known is LHS 4033, thought to be 5,000 kilometers, about 3,000 miles across.
Now consider low-mass stars still in the prime of life. Astronomers call them red dwarfs, stars with no more than half the mass of our sun. 70% of stars in our galaxy may be red dwarfs, 20 for every sun-like star. Some astronomers are actively searching for low-mass stars. The program is called RECONS, Research Consortium on Nearby Stars. The search is difficult because these stars are so faint. They might find one or two red dwarfs near the sun every year.
One candidate for the smallest red dwarf lies about 16 light-years away. It's called LP944-20, and it's 120,000 kilometers, or about 75,000 miles, across. Thanks for your question, Reina, and with thanks to the National Science Foundation, we're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad.
Where do you go?
When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Where do you go? Where are you?
I started hearing voices telling me, "You're dying, you're dying." I couldn't make them stop. My heart kept speeding up and slowing down. Now I feel paranoid all the time, and I can't tell what is real and what isn't. I'm on medication, but it doesn't help. Sometimes I believe I'm already dead and in hell.
Unfortunately, this 19-year-old learned that happiness and a heightened sense of touch aren't the only side effects of ecstasy. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Hey, America. My name is Amir. I'm a truck driver. I was born and raised in the Middle East. We're not all terrorists. Now I am a proud citizens of the United States of America. This country has done a lot for me. Do not take America for granted. So I try to return the favor to my favorite country by volunteering whenever I can, performing jury duty whenever I am called on, and most importantly, make sure I vote every chance I get. Get out and vote. May God bless America. Thank you.
My name's Daryl from Blackfoot, Idaho, and I feel that Americans that do not vote should have their rights to free speech stripped away.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
9 a.m. Read the one review that said I won the debate. Thank you, Kenny Bunkport, Daily Shopper. 11:15 a.m. Signed Working Families Tax Relief Act of 2004, Des Moines, Iowa. Des Moines. Note, by working families, this refers to the Rockefellers, the Trumps, the Gateses, and the DuPonts. 12:45 p.m. Participate in an Ask President Bush event, Clive, Iowa. Have Rove plant a young mother in the audience to ask, my 7-year-old saw Kerry cheat during the debates. How can I ever explain that to him? 6 p.m. Back to Washington. Training session with the Shaolin debate master. See if I can snatch victory from the palm of Kerry's hand. 8 p.m. Call Cheney about tomorrow night's debate, if he's still taking my calls. 9 p.m. Float rumor to judge. How did Kerry stay so calm? Drugs, drugs, and more drugs. See what happens. It can't hurt. 11 p.m. bedtime. This actually is hard work. Now we're going to learn some things. We have a guest. Congress officially adjourns on Friday. This is the last chance to pass bills before the election. What is going to the floor and what will be held over until the election are questions we're going to ask our guest. She is the economics editor of Congressional Quarterly. She's on the phone from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Jody Schneider.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. So what is the agenda this week in the Congress there?
Well, they're going to try to get some things done, but they're going to try not to get too much done that could get them in trouble in the elections.
Okay, like what, the bill that's expected to give billions of dollars in corporate tax breaks?
Right. Well, they may not pass that for that very reason. They're going to talk about it and act as though they're going to try to pass it. But in the end, they may not because it does have billions of dollars of corporate tax breaks and a $10 billion buyout of tobacco farmers.
Unbelievable. What are the particulars of that bill?
Well, it started out as a bill to repeal European economic sanctions that are being levied against about 1,600 U.S. products because we have an export subsidy on our books that the WTO has said we can't have. So basically, rather than just repealing this and trying to fix it with these manufacturers, they decided to toss in their billions of dollars in new tax breaks. It became kind of known as the Christmas tree bill because every lobbyist in Washington went and put their favored break on there. And in the end, they ended up with this bill that nobody kind of liked but thought, well, we should try to pass it. It's been delayed for all kinds of reasons. In the House, at the last minute, they added this $10 billion tobacco buyout to get the votes of tobacco state lawmakers. And now they're sort of stuck with it because those lawmakers are running on that.
A $10 billion bailout?
Yeah, it would buy out the tobacco farmers, basically, you know, get rid of the price support system there, and we'd give them money to sort of say, all right, we're not going to give you price supports anymore, but now you know, take this money and go. Be quiet.
And have a good time. Smoke a cigarette.
It's complicated by the fact that then for the Senate to accept that, they said, all right, we need FDA regulation of tobacco. So that's on there, but Tom DeLay has said he will never go for federal regulation of tobacco products.
Right.
So who knows? That for that to survive would be huge, but at the same time, they may not be able to get rid of it this week because the tobacco farmers are saying, well, we won't vote for that conference report. So I'm sort of unclear. They're meeting tonight at 7. The conferees are getting back together. They'd have to finish the conference report in the next day, tonight and Tuesday, which is kind of unlikely. Mm-hmm. But they say it's on their agenda.
Jody Schneider, talk a bit about the intelligence reform. I don't know if there's a specific piece of legislation that's before both houses, but certainly there's been an awful lot of talk about it. It doesn't look like it's going to get done, huh?
Well, yeah. In the House, they have this what they call H.R. 10, which is their version of the intelligence overhaul, which is actually a laundry list of a lot of smaller things. The Financial Services Committee has a few things. The, you know, various committees are adding up their things. That may actually pass because it isn't – it's an overhaul, but in the sense of a little bit here, a little bit there. In the Senate, it's a little trickier. The Senate is going to bring up its overhaul, basically, and a resolution that would reform Senate oversight of the intelligence community. That may be a bit tougher to do. But on both of these, they're not the kind of thing that would be hard to run against, because you can come out there and say, you know, no one's going to understand the specifics of that. And on the campaign trail, they can say, hey, we're doing something about this to prevent another 9/11. So those may actually pass this week.
Jody, is there any, will there be any fallout, excuse me, in your judgment, from the piece that was in the New York Times that talked about the aluminum tubes and what was very obviously either a failure in intelligence or a willful ignorance of intelligence?
Yeah, I think that's going to get discussed. I mean, I don't know that it will be discussed directly, but I think that people will be looking at that. Congress gets to be in this posture with intelligence of saying, look at, you know, we are just the oversight. We're just here to try to keep these people in line.
Yeah, they pretend to do that.
But they can say, you know, we didn't know about this. We're not running the intelligence operations of this nation. We're just the guys who are giving them the money.
Right. And then secretly they go, these Democrats, whine, whine, whine. Always a problem. So what about this measure about drought relief that they've attached to the Homeland Security bill? How does that play out?
Yeah, well, appropriations is interesting. First of all, you know, they haven't really passed any spending bills. The federal government started its new fiscal year on Friday, and there was only one of 13 so-called must-pass spending bills, the defense appropriations measure, that's passed.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a continuing resolution through November 20th. That's the one thing they did last week. That will keep the government operating. They're going to come back in a lame duck session in November, mid-November, to go ahead and, you know, fund us through the next year. But in the meantime, there's this issue. We're calling it the wet versus dry wars.
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, the president keeps sending up requests to the Hill for hurricane relief. You know, Florida has been pummeled, and it's a tight race down there, and his brother's governor. And so they got one $3 billion request through, and there's another $7 billion in hurricane funding pending, and probably a little bit more to come for extra money for Gene, maybe another $1 billion worth.
In order to connect drought relief to Homeland Security, is there any motions to declare hurricanes terrorists?
That'd be the next step. Well, what they did with the drought is interesting. They had this Homeland Security bill, one of these must-pass bills. That was the other appropriations bill they thought they would definitely get done before the election. And because, you know, who can be against Homeland Security funding, right? Instead, what they ended up doing was sticking on $3 billion in drought relief funding and saying, well, hold on, you know, if you're going to get your hurricane relief, all these, you can't blame these plain states and farm states lawmakers. You know, why shouldn't they get theirs too, right? But, of course, that made people nervous. Well, hold on, how can we be passing, you know, billions and billions of extra dollars? So now what's happening is that has held up that bill, which they'd like to pass this week. They're probably going to try to get that through, but at the same time then make them take some cuts in the farm bill.
So it's being held up because so many people want to get a piece of this money?
Well, partly, but also it's political, like everything in Washington. Tom Daschle is in this race, you know, the House Minority Leader, is in this race in South Dakota against Thune, who used to be there, lost a seat, and it's a very tight race. The White House has gone down there and campaigned against Daschle.
Mm-hmm.
And Daschle wants the money, but at the same time, the White House, they think they lost the race last time because they came out against the money, hurting the Republican challenger. So the White House has sort of been quiet on this, but they've got a problem. They don't really want to come out against the drought money, but at the same time, they want their hurricane money. So in the meantime, probably what will happen is there will be some kind of compromise that would allow the GOP leaders to probably reach some compromise that would allow the farm state Republicans to get their money, and then they'd do cuts on the 2002 farm bill.
How come this money's not coming out of FEMA? I mean,
they have to fund FEMA. This is what's funding FEMA.
Okay.
This is emergency funding. FEMA's only, you know, kind of funded at a very basic level, and the Republicans cut that money in recent years. And now what ends up happening is every time you have a big disaster, you have to, you know, refund FEMA and road money and everything else. But, of course, it gets used politically, and people put on all kinds of other things.
Mm.
Our guest is Jody Schneider. She's economics editor at the Congressional Quarterly. Jody, is there any one issue? You've run past a number of different issues that Congress obviously has on its plate, and these folks are going back to their home states, back to their constituents, looking to get reelected. Is there any single issue that you would look at as being one that they're deathly afraid their constituents are going to call them on?
Well, I think they're nervous. I think the reason you haven't seen a budget, and we don't have a budget resolution, and the reason that you've only seen one appropriations bill pass, is I do think they realize that people think they're spending tons of money in Washington and are worried about how they're spending it. So better yet, they can just go home and say, well, we haven't passed the budget yet. We haven't done this. You know, we're sort of waiting to hear from you. We're concerned about the deficit, too. I think they realize that there's a lot of uncertainty out there with people's own economic situations. People have jobs, but they're not sure they're going to keep them forever. And I think they worry about rampant spending in Washington.
Are there any issues that Bill Fritz is trying to get the Democrats to vote on that might hurt them politically?
Yeah, well, that's going to be the big, thing to watch this week. They may, on this corporate tax bill, what they may do is try to stick on a bunch of stuff that would embarrass them.
Like what?
Well, one of the things they may do is try to force them to vote on things like the federal tobacco buyout without the FDA regulation, saying they insisted on it and then saying, well, no, you can't have it and you have to take this anyways, things like that. There is going to be a measure that would create more federal judgeships. That's actually coming out of the House. That could be interesting because, they could try some machinations on that. The other thing that Fritz badly wants to do, he badly wants his version of the intelligence overhaul, and at the last minute they could stick some things on there that would embarrass the Democrats. The Democrats, on the other hand, have made it very clear that they will stick contentious amendments on things that they don't like, which is one of the reasons that they've been, nervous to get things to the floor like the corporate tax bill, because the Democrats could have embarrassed them. So we could see surprises from both sides of the aisle this week on some bills that people would like to pass, but they could make it difficult for them to pass.
Well, it sounds pretty exciting the next few days.
Yeah, it'll be long hours. And then the other thing is, this could be interesting, there could be sort of an 11th-hour surprise in that a couple of these conference reports, the Republicans could make them come back November 1st, just before the election.
Oh, really?
On a couple of things. Now, that's unlikely, but Steny Hoyer asked that on the floor the other day, saying he'd heard a rumor and put a majority of them.
Wow. Where do these guys find time to actually represent their constituents?
They're busy.
This is what they consider to be representing their constituents.
All right. Well, Jody Schneider, it was great talking to you. I'm sure we'll talk to you again.
Thanks a lot, Jody.
Okay, take care.
Bye. That was Jody Schneider, the economics editor of the Congressional Quarterly. Coming up in the next after this break, we have the liberal agenda. I guess we're going to talk a little bit about we've got our challenge, the wrestling the Republican.
Yeah.
And actually, we're going to Fox News apologize for something. What do you make of that? We'll be back after this on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com, where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it has been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
Now serving for the match, it's Jimmy Wang. Serves to Lee. Wang. Lee. Backhand by Wang. Lee. Wang, with a tremendous forehand, wins the World Series of Ping Pong. There's the World Series, and then there's the World Series. The season wraps up. For some, it's going to be a long, cold winter, but one team will call themselves world champs. The season wraps up on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120. Go to Sirius.com for the game broadcast schedule.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Hi, I'm Miranda from McLean, Virginia, and I just wanted to say it's time to vote. Get out there. Have your voice heard, young, old, and in between. It's time to change the nation.
This is Marsha Wallace in Greenville, South Carolina, and I'm asking everyone, please, don't let apathy and laziness interfere with your voting this November. Please learn about the issues and the candidates, and then vote your conscience.
Hey out there in the Sirius Nation, this is Tom Roberts from Wabino, Wisconsin. This year, your vote counts more than ever. We need to overlook the hatred and vote the right man into office. Get out there and vote, America.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're fine. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Shoot, get away!
Scream at them, dear. Hornets hate high-pitched noises. Try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Now, knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
That's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow! For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
I got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kids? Principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Attention smokers, find out how to get 2 free cartons of your preferred brand of cigarettes. That's right, the makers of Smoke Free and 3 are so confident you will finally quit smoking that they'll buy your next 2 cartons for you if you don't quit. Never again will you have smoke-filled clothes, bad breath, or jeopardize the health of your loved ones. Just listen to these ex-smokers.
I've been smoking a carton of cigarettes per week as long as I can remember. The very first day I started the Smoke Free and 3 system, I quit.
This is Shelly, and my cravings have decreased. I'm calmer, less irritable, and I've been smoke-free for a month now.
This system really surprised me on how effectively and quickly it worked.
Smoke Free and 3 is strong against cravings mentally and physically, so you can stop for good. No stress, no jitters, no anxiety, and no more money wasted on cigarettes.
Call now for your trial of Smoke Free and 3 at 1-800-304-1766. Stop smoking in just days, guaranteed. 800-304-1766. If you don't stop, we'll send you $100 to buy your next 2 cartons. Call 1-800-304-1766. That's 1-800-304-1766.
It's the jungle, baby. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. That's Mark Riley right there. You're listening to Air America Radio. In Boston, you're listening to us on WKOX, 1200 AM. I'm not going to do that.
Don't say it.
And WXKS, 1430 AM in Boston. Welcome, Boston. It's nice to have you. I spent a lot of time in the Boston area. We'll talk about that in a minute. But right now, it's time to reach out. We're getting some response to our Wrestle the Republican invitation.
Yeah.
Republicans are starting to pipe in.
Bring
They're
it.
They're starting to say, all right, man, you want to go? We'll go. Here's an email. It's an email coming to you from I don't know, it's coming from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm a registered Republican, and I could take on either one of you. I live in Albuquerque, so getting to your studio may prove a problem, but I've got the stones. Let's get ready to rumble.
Yeah.
Paul.
Yeah.
P.S. I don't support Bush, but you didn't ask for Bushes. You asked for Republicans. Well, Paul, I got to say this to you. We're not flying you out, sucker, so you're just going to have to sit on that rage.
Here's the sound of your email.
Oh, Riley, with a new sound effect.
That's right.
Oh, here's the sound of my copy of it. We
That's
just
right.
beat you and threw you in the garbage, mister.
You're not getting a freebie to New York just to get whipped by us, pal.
That's right. So if you are a Republican and you want to wrestle one of the co-hosts here, well, then you keep emailing.
I've been working out, man. I'm ready for this now.
I went running yesterday in preparation.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going to do the big cat Ernie Ladd thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, man. Ernie Ladd was a former pro football player who became a big-time professional wrestler.
Because the money was better?
No, because his knees gave out, which is how most football players end up being. The Rock. was a former football player whose knees gave out, couldn't play, ended up being a professional wrestler.
Wow. Yeah, I went running yesterday. You know, I found out something. Like, I'm trying to figure out a way where I can just, you know, get on a regular exercise regimen given our hours.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, maybe if I just do 3 miles, you know, if I run, because I got the magic shoes. I bought the special running shoes that pressure me. They just sit there and glow in the corner of my room going, maybe you ought to run with us today.
Yeah, right.
So I set out to do the 3 miles, but then I realized something. It's like I did the 3 miles, and I'm like, damn, I'm not high yet.
Uh-oh.
So I had to run the extra mile and a half just to get the buzz. You know, that was weird.
Now, where do you run? You run indoors? Or?
It was so nice.
You don't run through the streets of Astoria.
I go to the Astoria Park.
Really?
Yeah, I go down to the park and run on the track. They got a nice, you know, professional track down there.
Well lit, I take it.
Well, I do it during the day.
Oh, okay. It's not like, still, well.
Yeah, I get up early, Mark. I'm up at 1 to do the running.
Yeah, know. Man, run before you get here.
Man.
That would work.
This is beautiful. Okay, look at this. Fox News apologizes over a made-up article that they say they weren't intending to put out there.
Right.
Come on, can you believe that? Here it is. Where is it? Okay, it was written by this guy, Carl Cameron. He's the chief political correspondent for Fox News, and it included several bogus quotes from Kerry, supposedly assessing his performance in the debate, like, quote, didn't my nails and cuticles look great? What a good debate, end quote. What is that? Look at this. The article quoted Kerry, the Democratic, is telling his supporters in Florida that women should, quote, women should like me. I do manicures. What? And then here's another quote from the supposed quote from Kerry. Quote, I'm metrosexual. He's a cowboy, end quote. What is that?
It's his bland, no account, attempted humor.
Cameron has been reprimanded over the incident, okay, said Paul Scherer, a spokesman for the network. Quote, this was a stupid mistake and a lapse in judgment, and Carl regrets it. But he did it on purpose. This is the same Carl Cameron that you might have seen in the documentary Outfoxed, whose sister has a relationship with the Bush machine.
His wife, wasn't it?
Oh, it's his wife. Okay. Yeah,
his wife was supposedly hanging out with Bush's sister.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're, you know, they had this little candid conversation off camera. You could see it in Outfoxed. This guy is a shill for the Republicans. This was put out there as slander. It was put out there in the same way Drudge pushed something out there, you know, to sort of like, they floated up as a trial balloon, they call those, right?
Yeah, they call them trial balloons, but, you know, the most telling part of this entire piece is the very end. When Carl Cameron, because see, Cameron got angry when he was questioned too much about this stuff. Says anybody who said, this is a quote, anybody who suggests that this is somehow tainting my coverage is overlooking my coverage. There is no reporter in the country who reported more often George Bush's misstatements. Every time he misspoke the English language, Carl Cameron, more than any other reporter, put it in the national news. You know what the lesson is from that paragraph?
What?
Never, ever as a journalist refer to yourself in the third person.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Right.
It makes you look like an egomaniac slob.
Or a sociopath.
Yeah.
Some sort of pathological narcissist. Oh, that was the other me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't control that me.
Carl Cameron is an objective reporter.
Oh. Yeah, he has no credibility whatsoever anymore. He hasn't for a long time, but I just want to make that clear. That, if you don't know, for you newcomers to the show, is the liberal agenda, which is dispatched to us from the Streisand compound every day. Here are your marching orders for today. One, study a shark's tail to see if any animated dolphins get caught in the nets. Two, have tribal shaman visit Edwards and take him on mind-expanding pre-debate vision quest. Nothing. All right. Three, insist that all debates hire a signer for the hearing impaired, one-armed Sudanese lesbian preferred. There you go. Four, attend Vote for Change concert. If the crowd starts doing the wave, make sure it only goes to the left. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Yeah, it's hard work. Ever tried being an idiot for a whole day? What's going to happen next, Mark?
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, will be joined by actor Michael Murphy and the Monday job listing, all coming up here on Air America Radio.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
Ben.
I am the Edison Photograph. City light bulbs you would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. No surprise here, Arab Americans in the state of Florida are abandoning their support for George W. Bush. The president largely carried the community in the 2000 contest, even though the largest ethnic vote went to the Al Gore camp at the time. But the Los Angeles Times reports a growing number of business owners, doctors, lawyers, and other professionals in the Arab American community in Florida are unhappy with the president and the policies of his administration. New development is welcome news for the Democrats. Party leaders in the state have made a cogent effort to snare the support of seniors, African Americans, Jews, Cubans, and the Haitian Americans to boost their prospects for success in November. While all eyes are concerned about November's election outcome, both Democrats and Republicans alike are expressing concerns about an October surprise. That surprise would consist of something so dramatic that it could influence the outcome of the presidential race. Such a surprise is part of the American political lore, with the party out of power, fearing a major threat from the party now in control. Casualty count from this morning's car bombing near Baghdad's heavily guarded green zone has risen to at least 15. More than 80 others have been wounded. It was the first of two bombings in the Iraqi capital. A second car bomb exploded in the area near several hotels, causing an unspecified number of casualties. American and Iraqi forces opened fire after the second blast, but it isn't clear what they were shooting at. U.S. officials says no American forces were believed hurt or killed in either blast. Both areas have been frequent targets of suicide attackers. Iraqi security forces yesterday emerged to patrol the deadly streets of Samarra after weeks of suicide bombing attacks and assassination attempts. The experience for those forces was said to be morale-boosting. According to U.S. commanders, both Iraqi and U.S. military officials have deemed the recent offensive in Samarra a complete success. It's one of the key areas that both sides wanted cleared of insurgents before the January elections there. Despite this, local residents in the Sunni Muslim city remain extremely angry about the heavy civilian death toll. With the first presidential debate behind the nation, all eyes are now focused on the debate tomorrow night between Vice President Dick Cheney and challenger Senator John Edwards. Edwards has been taking a low profile in the campaign until last week. The debate will take place at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. It will be the only debate of their campaign. Their styles and substance are different, with many pundits saying there will be plenty of material for each to fire on each other. Cheney is expected to repeat his theory that only the current administration can handle the problems of terrorism facing this country. Edwards' camp believes there's plenty from Cheney's history to draw from. And there are still more questions on how soon the new Iraqi government will stage a trial for Saddam Hussein. The issue is the escalating violence in the Iraqi by Iraqi insurgents who in recent months appear to have the upper hand in the conflict. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Now serving for the match, it's Jimmy Wang. Serves to Lee. Wang. Lee. Backhand by Wang. Lee. Wang, with a tremendous forehand, wins the World Series of Ping Pong. There's the World Series, and then there's the World Series. The season wraps up. For some, it's going to be a long, cold winter, but one team will call themselves world champs. The season wraps up on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120. Go to Sirius.com for the game broadcast schedule.
This is Earth and Sky, as Amal Wash grew up near the marshes of southern Iraq.
This area was once called the Fertile Crescent. Last year, Al-Wash returned to Iraq for the first time in 25 years.
And I was shocked to see my marshes. I remember sitting and watching the central marshes. They were like a dry desert, ugly, an ugly sight.
In the 1990s, new upstream dams starved the marshes of fresh water, and about 90% of them disappeared. Al-Wash is an environmental engineer and project director for Eden Again, an international effort to restore Iraq's marshes. In the past year, about half of the marshes have been reflooded by local inhabitants, and a few are coming back to life, Al Wash spends about a week each month in the reflooded marshes, hoping to learn why some are recovering and others aren't.
And one of my dreams is in 5 years we would be leading some ecotourist adventurists into this area to show them the ruins of Babylon and the ruins of Ur and the cradle of civilization, and then take them on a kayak tour into some of the floating islands in the middle of the marshes that are coming back. It's a story of hope. I can tell your listeners that the restoration of the marshes is one of the highlights of Iraq of today.
Our thanks to the National Science Foundation, where discoveries begin. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the tremor as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat!
The cat! Oh, and the neighbor's new car!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here! You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour. And this is Morning Sedition.
Talk about the issue. We're fighting for our lives here.
Fire truck, fire truck, fire truck, fire truck.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, part-time Buddhas, working-class heroes, delusional, self-centered, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. The two women who think I'm sophomoric, good morning to you, if you're still listening, and a little of this. Men, boys, women, girls, tops and bottoms of all kinds, this is your show. Good morning, Boston. We are here to take down the belligerent, smug, arrogant, faux-Christian, AWOL blowmonkey puppet of the Cheney regime's neocon death cult, if you're curious as to what we're doing. Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, and I'm the sophomore of the day. Forgot about that.
And Mark, you made a pee-pee joke.
I made some kind of joke.
I don't remember what it
totally
was.
Totally sophomore.
But we're not, man. We're going to talk about the real stuff. I want to say that I will be performing October 29th and 30th at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco with Will Durst, Kevin Rooney, perhaps Barry Crimmins is going to come. It's going to be a stand-up for your rights. It's the second part of a series we're doing down there. If you have any interest in that, you can go to CobbsComedyClub.com. Maybe we'll link that to the Morning Sedition site if you're in San Francisco. Should be a great night. Everyone's going to do stand-up. Then we're going to do a roundtable riff thing. It's going to be a good time.
I just go to hang out in San Francisco. It's my second favorite city after New
York. I love it.
It's
I love
place.
San Francisco. It's great. Also, thank you, Portland, Maine. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
A little civic action.
Yeah.
A little stand-up and be counted. A Portland, Maine radio station will continue airing Air America programming after it received hundreds of protests on plans to drop the liberal network. Nassau Broadcasting reversed its decision to drop Air America from station WLVP 8-7 a.m. after about 150 people showed up at a meeting at the station Thursday night. Right on, Mainers!
Yeah!
Good for you.
We love you.
That's unbelievable. That's beautiful. They were going to put in like ESPN or something, and they were like, dude, don't take away our voice.
That's right.
We've waited a long time for this voice. Even though Maron's a little sophomoric at times, he's still on the left side of things. Even though it's a little bit of a boys club there in the morning with Riley, Maron, Kalo, Clutch Larson, Brendan P.W. McDonald, and Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, even though it seems a little boy club-ish, we still love them.
We're working on a token woman.
Are we?
Sure.
Can we have one of those?
Sorry.
Here we go. Let's see. Nassau's chief executive officer, Louis Mercantanti, called the meeting to address the more than 500 complaints the company's received after its September 20th announcement that it would replace Air America with ESPN. It's just unbelievable to me. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. This guy, what's his name? It starts with passion. If listeners don't have passion for your programming, they won't have passion for your advertisers. That's when the programming guy said that. How do you like that, man? I'm moved.
Hey,
I'm touched.
The power of people.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yep. Air America Radio began March 31st around the country with a swathe of left-leaning talk radio and political satire.
Including guess who?
Headlined by comedian Al Franken. Does he work here? Al Franken.
No.
Hey, that's not funny. And Janine Garofalo was designated. And, of course, Mark Maron and Mark Riley in the morning.
Yeah. Is that in there, too?
No.
Yeah, right.
It's not. It's not. Well, that's because everybody's got to know that I have my show on the Sundance Channel. It's Dead Air with Al Franken. Oi, oi, very. Mark who?
Who?
Anyways, why am I crumpling that up? But thank you, Portland. That's good news. It's beautiful stuff. You did a great thing up there. You know, I'm watching the TV, and Mount St. Helens, as Riley said, that's a money shot waiting to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a big, earthbound, organic money shot there. But, you know, it's very funny. You get these meteorologists on there, and they keep making these analogies to household items. I thought it was hilarious. This woman was on CNN explaining the nature of the explosion that's going to happen. And she was saying that, you know, there's hardened magma on top, a dome of hardened magma on top of this cauldron, or what's it called? A cauldron
of
steam, magma, and sulfuric gases that's about to blow. And she goes, I think let me illustrate it for you. You know when you leave your toothpaste open and a little of it hardens on top? I'm like, that's toothpaste! It's not if when I went to put on my toothbrush, it blew up the city and hot magma killed my cats and everybody in my building. It's like, it's a hilarious thing. It's like, and then someone else, the same woman said, it's about to give birth. Yes, to hot magma that can burn the air and like leave dust for thousands of miles. Oh. Unbelievable. It's just very funny analogies. Yeah, it's sort of like a giant toothpaste container that's been left open that'll explode.
Well, you know what that is, Mark. That's somebody saying in their ear, look, the American people are too stupid to understand the actual minutiae of what's going on here at Mount St. Helens. So make some. It's going to pop like a toaster. It's going to do the.
I know.
Things real, real simple for what they feel are real, real simple people.
I guess, like I just said, it was sort of funny. It sort of minimized the power of it. I mean, if she said it, like, picture a giant tube of toothpaste with caked toothpaste on top of it, and the toothpaste that was in the tube was like a million billion degrees.
Yeah.
And the tube itself was made out of rock and couldn't be broken down unless it blew up. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand.
Maybe I'm being sophomoric. And speaking of earpieces, as you just did, there's some liberal propaganda going around, which I always enjoy because we're all sort of conspiratorial people. But there's some liberal, I got a dispatch that said, Bush might have had an earpiece in during the debates. There was a line, if you look at a picture of him from the back, it looks like there's a line running up to an earpiece, and he could have been prompted by earpiece. Well, if he was, he still lost. What were they telling him? La, 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 la. Dude, why don't you stumble a little bit here? Why don't you, hey, this would be a good place to repeat yourself. So why don't you repeat yourself? I mean, the weird thing about this kind of stuff is that there's with talking points on the right, like when some gossip gets out, it seems that they're all hip to it. They email everybody, even Congress members, senators, are hip to what's going
to be.
They
disseminate.
Yes, the slander of the day, yeah. And everybody is up to the, you know, date with it. But it seems to me sometimes with liberal slander, it's almost like there's someone out there that's like, I want to be the first to have this thing, you know, and like they come up with these things. It's like, look, we won the debates. Why don't we just get on board and continue with the momentum to keep pushing Kerry forward as opposed to complicating things by going, I think Bush might have cheated. Save that one for when he
really does cheat.
Yeah. And also, I think that the October surprise, we're all a little nervous about that.
Oh, man, you know, I was talking to my sister the other day. My sister, who you met,
yeah,
is a very sober soul. Okay, mm-hmm. She's not given to hype. She doesn't believe in conspiracies.
Yeah.
And she said something to me yesterday that really startled me. She said, you know, I think they're going to drag out bin Laden soon. I said, well, wait. She said, one more bad debate out of Bush.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to bring out bin Laden.
I say check him for freezer burn. I've always said that. That's the thing to do. But, you know, I don't think they had him because I think they would have, like, if they had him, as I said before, they would have lowered him in a cage at the Republican National Convention and just said, before we bring up the president,
here he is.
We got a present for you, America. Just 9-foot Bin Laden in a cage going, aah! But no, you know, pictures. What? No pictures.
I saw Goodfellas the other day, again, for the 9 zillionth time. And the minute they showed that guy who was in the freezer,
yeah,
I thought of Bin Laden immediately. And that's your fault, Mark Maron.
Man,
we're talking that freezer burn stuff.
You know, we better prepare some counter spin to the Bin Laden find. I say Kerry should get out there and get dirty and go find him himself. I say that if Kerry shows up wearing his, like, his camo and his necklace of ears holding Bin Laden's head at the town hall debate, who will you vote for, America? Who's the real war hero? He beat prostate cancer. They gave him a checkup. There's no cancer in his body. It's
That's
beautiful.
Good.
And they also took some pictures of the shrapnel he has in his femur, and it's the size of a bullet. Yeah, that's a fake injury.
Yeah.
Man, Republicans are snot bags. I can't stand them.
You know what I mean? You know what I love, though?
What?
I love the fact that now they got to rely on Dick Cheney, the most polarizing and divisive guy in the administration, to make up ground that Bush lost in the debate last week. Now everybody's looking at tomorrow night saying, you know, dude, Cheney's going to have to really whip up on John Edwards. Something, by the way, I don't think he'll do.
All he can do is condescend. All he can do is say, well, you know, if you had experience, you know, and hopefully no lizard will crawl out of his nose into his ear and his eyes will roll back into his head and start spewing smoke.
You think you can get him mad
That's
enough?
What the meteorologist is saying. It's like, okay, the volcano's Mount St. Helens. Okay, picture if Dick Cheney's head were to blow open. Okay, and then that's sort of similar to what, yeah, I think all he can do is condescend, and I don't think that on policy, I think that if Edwards keeps it on the domestic front and keeps smart and just attacks him as being, and attack Cheney as being, you know, as pandering to wealthy people and going to war for no reason, I think we'll be all right.
Well, see, Cheney is going to apparently hammer at this whole September 11th national security preparedness thing, which didn't, by the way, work for Bush. It really didn't. Bush fell apart when he was trying to make that connection because Kerry called him on the difference between Saddam and Osama.
Well, the good thing is Edwards was on the Intelligence Committee, yes?
Yes. So, I believe. Wait a minute.
So he will, you know, have some knowledge of that. Wasn't it Edwards on the Intelligence Committee, Clutch Torreson? I believe he was, yeah.
I mean, believe he was.
We'll double check that.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. And I think that at least he'll be very well informed on it, other than, you know, whatever, you know, he's being coached to do, but he'll also know the nuances of some of that stuff, which will be good.
Yeah, and I mean, this now takes on an entirely different aura, this debate, this kind of the vice presidential debate. Ordinarily, you know, unless somebody does like a Lloyd Benson or, you know, you're no John Kennedy kind of thing in a debate, most people don't pay really close attention to what happens. Now, with Bush in the tank and really not available to speak until Friday in terms of another debate,
yeah.
Cheney is carrying the ball for these guys, and he's not the greatest ball carrier in history.
That's true. I mean, it's something that doesn't come easy to him, thank God. Look, quickly, before we go, and we're going to bring Michael Murphy into the studio, who's an actor who's been in, you know, every movie that you've ever seen. Well, a lot of them. A lot of all the movies. He's in one of my favorite movies, actually, McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
Oh, okay.
He was great in that. But I just want to remind people in Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, Virginia, today is your deadline to register to vote. So get out there and do that. It's very important that everybody stand up and be counted. 17 past the hour, we'll be back in a minute with Michael Murphy here on Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka, it knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
That's right. Yippee! I'm doing
it on TV. Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Join us October 11th for the Vote for Change concert, live from D.C. with Springsteen, R.E.M., the Dixie Chicks, Dave Matthews, and a slew of others. It's 4 hours of great music and a chance to show your support for John Kerry. Well, if you're writing, turn it up for the music and just turn it down between the songs. The Vote for Change concert, Monday the 11th at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius XM 8.
out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, this is Tom in Missouri. The Bush administration has botched everything they've gotten their hands on, and they have got to go on November 2nd. Vote for John Kerry for president.
Hello, I'm Terry Dembowski. I'm from Ohio. I'm voting for Mr. Bush. President Bush has done a fine job for us. I'm a truck driver, and many other truck drivers like myself are voting for Mr. Bush.
Hi, this is Ron from New Jersey, and this November 2nd, I'll be voting for John Kerry. George Bush must go. Anybody that sits there for 7 minutes after they've been told that our nation is under attack is not a good leader.
This is Tracy from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm a retired U.S. Navy veteran, so I encourage all the veterans to get out and vote for George W. Bush.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills, like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
Are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person, and so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
Hi, I'm David Orrick. If you love your lungs, then purify the air in your home with the same technology used in our U.S. submarine fleet, the same advanced technology that's in my Oreck tabletop air purifier. I call my air machine a lung saver. You'll call it a miracle. Call 1-800-989-4... and breathe easier with the best air purifier you can buy.
Okay, it's 22 past the hour. I am Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Reilly.
Hey.
This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Good morning, Boston. Welcome aboard. Thank you, Portland, for fighting for us in your town.
Yeah.
That was very, that was cool, man. It was groovy, dude.
It was wonderful.
So right now, I'm going to give you my dream diary from last night. It's apropos. Here we go. We're back. Here we go. I'm at the coffee house for poetry night. The guy with dread steps to the mic. Now dig the poetical, political stylings of Mark Bongos Marin. Post-debate, don't hesitate, reciprocate, because victory is our fate. Traitor haters, to Bush we say later. Over the ramparts, let's start to impart darts, striking at their Walmart hearts with our smart art. Rebels on tour, can't endure the manure. Dixie Chicks, Pearl Jam, Wham Bam, thank you, ma'am. We will pluck you, bad luck you, Stipe Mills and buck you, stomp you, stamp you, John Cougar, Melon Camp you. Tighten the noose as they turn loose their Bruce juice. strong and sincere. They've got Kerry's rear because everyone knows we're fighting for our lives here. Bring the noise, rage with poise. Take the toys away from the fake cowboys. It's your choice. Peace out. I woke up and my bed was filled with Emily Dickinson. How do you like that?
It's a little weird, right?
Our guest in the studio, very excited. He's one of those faces that, you know, if you see him, you're like, oh, that guy!
Yep.
He's been in every movie ever! Right now, they're doing a thing called Tanner on Tanner, which is a follow-up to Tanner 88, which was a Robert Altman conceived, I guess, with Gary Trudeau, right? That's Michael Murphy. Is his mic on here? Are you there? How about that? How are you?
Hi, there he is.
So, you were also in one of my favorite movies of all time, McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
Yeah.
That's a while ago. Do you remember?
Representing the Bush Boys.
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly it.
We want to buy all your holdings.
Yeah. They went into the small town. You were from the mining company,
right?
And you were going to push this guy out, and then when he didn't play ball, you wanted...
We sent the killers in.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're familiar with the politics of the Bush administration.
A smile, you know. You figure all that's worth about 37.50, Mr. McCabe.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You're going to lowball him. And then the other guy who was in the movie... Yeah,
What's that coat? What's that coat made of? That's a huge coat. Of
that was beautiful.
Seal skin.
Yeah. Yeah. The other guy's like, I got no, my stomach's bothering me. We got to get out of here. Yeah. Oh, you were the one who were wondering, do you think I got something from that?
Yes, right. Well, that was a long time ago. You got a good memory.
I watch it once a year. There are certain movies I watch once a year, and that is one of them.
I'd hate to get the runs on a trip like this.
It's a genius movie. You've worked with Altman a lot. Yeah. I mean, you were in Nashville.
I started with him in television in the early 60s on a show called Combat.
I remember Vic Morrow.
Yeah.
That was like a genius. Like, it broke all sorts of directorial...
He was way ahead of his time even then.
Right.
I was in his 30s. And the show I did, it was interesting because he would hire young guys like me and give us like 8 or 9 episodes, and then the Germans would kill you. As soon as the audience got hooked on you, the Germans, you'd see you to the Germans.
You knew it was coming, and
then
look for work.
And then you go out with somebody else, and the guy would come back and say, well, he died, but we got the information, and the colonel would say, we already know that. The guy had died in vain.
Yeah, it used to break my heart when guys used to get killed in combat. Yeah.
Well, I guess that was like one of the first TV series that really tried to capture the language of the soldiers in a real sort of human way, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at that stuff today, it's astonishing. The work he did on that show is really something. I mean, it's as good as anything he did. You know, when I met him on that show, it was interesting because it was a script, barely a script. There was hardly any dialogue. And what dialogue there was in German. I mean, it was the thing about Vic was wounded and he was wandering around with this... carrying this dead German he thought was his brother or something. I can't remember exactly, but and they told him, forget it, you know, this is too dark and there's not enough English. Because to get some squad action going here, you know, for this goes on at 8 o'clock in the Midwest, and they went to New York to a meeting, and he did it anyway.
Oh, yeah?
He just cast it and did it. So.
And this was, what year was it, in the 60s?
Yeah.
63, 63
maybe, yeah. Yeah. And so, of course, they fired him.
Yeah, I mean, my voice was just changing.
And then didn't Vic, well, really? And then didn't Vic Morrow pick up directing that? Wasn't he involved in it after that?
I think he did direct some of them later,
yeah.
I'm not sure.
So we are going to talk about, now, set this, the Tanner on Tanner thing is a redux to, you know, the Tanner 88 campaign, which was a fictional political campaign where you were running for Senate within the real campaign. Is that how that worked?
Yes, that's right. It was a kind of a funny thing. We were shooting the Kane Mutiny up in Washington, and Bob, I had lunch with him one day, and he said, I'm going to run you for president. and he did. A couple weeks later, we were in New Hampshire, and it was just an amazing experience. I mean, I'll never have another job like that.
Yeah, I want to talk about, like, when we come back, because we want to talk about how much of that was improvised and how that worked, and now, you know, where is this, you're now older, you're retired from politics, your daughter is a filmmaker, and you're teaching. So when we get back, let's cover that. And what else we got coming up there, Mark?
Well, we've got Iraq, Birth of a Nation. We've got our listeners on the phones. We've got the Monday job listing. And as you mentioned, more with actor Michael Murphy when we come back here on Air America Radio.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that SmokeRx will work for you that we're giving away a free month supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, SmokeRx is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. There's been a huge increase in the number of new voters in the country. Reports say boards of election in several states from Pennsylvania to Oregon have been swamped with registration forms. Election officials in several states have had to increase staff to accommodate the increase. Veteran Democrat and former presidential candidate, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, is calling the black vote the nation's real swing vote. Jackson joined John Kerry yesterday in Ohio, warning black Americans about the GOP-inspired effort to suppress their vote in the upcoming election. Vice President Dick Cheney and Senator John Edwards are gearing up for their verbal slugfest tomorrow night. Reports say their debate will be a lot different from what most Americans saw last week between Bush and Kerry. Reports say tomorrow night's debate should be eventful with fewer restrictions and the possibility of more attacks. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Now serving for the match, it's Jimmy Wang. Serves to Lee. Wang. Lee. Backhand by Wang. Lee. Wang, with a tremendous forehand, wins the World Series of Ping Pong. There's the World Series, and then there's the World Series. The season wraps up. For some, it's going to be a long, cold winter, but one team will call themselves world champs. The season wraps up on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120. Go to Sirius.com for the game broadcast schedule.
This is Earth and Sky, Monday, October 4th. The United Nations has declared October 4th through 10th World Space Week.
And a space-minded listener wants to know, what would happen if I struck a match in space?
Here on Earth, a match burns because of a chemical reaction between the fuel on the match head and oxygen in Earth's atmosphere. In space, oxygen molecules are few and far between. There's nothing for the fuel to react with, so a match wouldn't light.
Inside the space shuttle, astronauts have done flame experiments, but only in closed containers. Otherwise, the astronauts would risk being burned, while soot might damage sensitive equipment. To light fuel in a container, astronauts usually use a hot wire, much like what you'd find inside a toaster. So a shuttle astronaut would never strike a match. But let's imagine what would happen if you were allowed to strike a match in the open air on the space shuttle.
The match would light because there's oxygen inside the shuttle, but the flame wouldn't have the teardrop shape you see in earthly gravity. In space, the heated gas from a match expands, but there's no preferred direction for it to go. So you'd see a bubble or sphere of fire around your lighted match.
Special thanks today to the National Space Grant Foundation on the web at www.spacegrant.org. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Everyone knows what happens when we join together. We get stronger. That's why community groups like the PTA, clubs, and even faith groups can do so much for our community, especially fighting to keep kids away from drugs. But do you know there's a way to make community groups even stronger? It's called a community coalition. A community coalition helps local groups get together and fight to keep kids away from drugs. Find out how your group can get involved at helpyourcommunity.org, because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6, name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
In the 2000 election, only 51% of Americans eligible to vote actually cast a ballot. 24% of Americans weren't even registered to vote at all. And until recently, I was one of them. Then a friend told me about JustVote.org, a nonprofit organization with a fast and easy way to register online. Go to JustVote.org, enter your zip code, and follow the simple instructions. You can also find your local polling place, tell a friend about JustVote.org, and donate money to help get more people registered. It's our democracy. Let's make it work. JustVote.org.
Now, officially, we are thrilled that someone as popular as Al-Sadr wants to participate in the democratic process. But we both know the U.S. will never, ever, ever allow him to hold public office. Former B-movie actors, yes. Foreign-born actor heroes, yes. Failed sons of former presidents definitely can hold office. But radical clerics, are you kidding me? Uh-oh, wrong. There we go. We don't do radicals. We do locking up radicals. So if Al-Sadr decides to run, we will go deep into our playbook to discredit him. We will hit him on the lack of experience in public officing, say he's soft on car bombing, not preventing it, doing it. We'll tell everyone he's running on gun control platforms. Everywhere you look will be vicious 527 ads. And when we're done, not only will you not vote for Al-Sadr, you may even want to put a bullet in him. For the good of the country, of course. We'll deny ever saying that, but what you do when our back is turned is your business. God, it would be so easy to just make him go away, and so hard to find out who actually did it. Well, with all the car bombings and shootings going on. Yeah, exactly. What I'm saying is, accidents happen. And if Al-Sadr runs, one of those accidents will happen soon. So good luck, and God bless. This is day 97 of Iraq, birth of a nation, live free or die. Now, you see, Michael, if you had the headset on, you would have heard all the blowing and explosions and the gunfire making all kinds of sounds and noises.
Yeah, I just heard a little hiss over here.
So let's get into, when you ran in 88 for president, there wasn't Senate, it was for president.
Yeah.
I remember it vaguely. I didn't watch too much of it, but it was primarily improvisational, right?
Well, there was a lot of it was scripted. I mean, Gary, the problem was we were trying to keep it immediate, so that what we would do, we was the first series, I believe, that HBO had ever done, and we tried to keep it real current. We shot it on video tape.
So Gary Trudeau was writing.
So he would write. He'd stay in New York, and he would write stuff. We'd say this is what was going on out on the trail, and he would fax us.
Okay.
You know, stuff.
Reality based.
Yeah, right. More or less, and then. But, you know, anytime you work with Bob, there's a lot of improvising.
Right, well, you had to because you were meeting regular politicians, as I recall. You were engaging with them, and there was that weird fine line between, you know, an actor playing a politician and a politician acting like a person.
Well, it was the strangest thing. I mean, I started going on, I'd go on the Today Show or whatever those things, those morning shows, and, you know,
in character.
Charlie Gibson would say, why don't you think your message is getting out, you know? Well, no, I'd go service myself, and I'd start talking about my message. it just became very bizarre. And I'd stand in front of those factories with, you know, Bob Dole and those guys. And,
right.
And pretty soon you're accepted. You know, it makes you wonder about the electorate. I mean,
that's so wild, because the politicians are like, that's Altman's guy he's running too.
Yeah, and they... Many times, everybody traveled with their little entourage.
Right.
So I had my cameras and so forth. And,
yeah.
You know, they had their cameras, and you just looked like another Paul. And they didn't know half the time what.
They didn't, right? They,
no. We ambushed Pat Robertson on one of these things.
Oh, really? And why that?
And we knew he was in Concord, I think, and we went over there, and he didn't know quite what was happening. I mean, I had my press guys with, you know, quotes with me, and so I did the banalities and kind of moved on, and. And one of my guys, who was an actor, but he wasn't sure whether he was an actor or from ABC, stepped up with his notebook and said, what about this Christian Hardball, you know? And you could see this guy react to that.
I mean, Robertson
kind of took a step back, and his eyes kind of went dead for a minute there. The wheels were turning.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary.
Yeah, it's weird when Satan thinks.
Dealing with the eyes go dead.
Well, we saw a little of that in the debate.
Yeah.
now you've done
trying to think.
Sorry. You've done a number of things that have been political.
Oh, yeah.
As an actor over the years. How has politics changed from the time you did Tanner 88 until now?
You know, 88 was real interesting because that was the first of the big scandals when they caught Gary Hart on the monkey business. So as I said, it sort of opened the curtains on everybody's private life, and so this nowadays it's much much worse than it was then. I mean, those people, it was pre Rupert Murdoch and
pre internet, pre access to information. I mean, everyone's chattering away. There's no time in between anything anymore.
Yeah, and all that. I mean, everybody was doing what they have always done in Washington. You know, having affairs and being power guys.
Yeah,
it's just like showbiz. You know, you become powerful, you get rid of your wife and get some young trophy.
Sure.
And
I thought that only happened in sports.
It's all the same thing.
They
beat Clinton to death with this thing that was just,
and he took it all and he still persevered. That was
he was unbelievable.
Thing.
I would have had a stroke. I mean, I don't know how the guy did it.
He just detached from
unbelievable.
It.
Yeah,
triangulation, I guess.
Yeah.
But now your co-star in this, Cynthia Nixon, has been the subject of some publicity lately. She was on the front page of one of the papers here in New York. Some lesbian. How do actors deal with that? I mean, look, your personal life is your personal life, your personal business is your personal business.
You know, in this day and age, you like to think that, but again, Rupert's in there with the yellow press.
But in some circles, that publicity is not really going to hurt her.
Well, I don't think it should hurt her.
Exactly. Actually.
No.
You know, but
I tell you, I don't know about that, but she is an extremely gifted actress.
Boy, she's been doing it since she was like 10 or something, right?
I mean, unbelievable. Let me tell you a little Cynthia Nixon story.
All right, good.
You know, she's a big star, comes off of that show. And we go down to the DNC in Boston, and we go out on the floor, and of course, she's this ripple goes through the crowd.
Oh, yeah?
And we've got a camera, and I'm out there, and Cynthia starts to say, this is getting a little dangerous. I mean, it was just jammed with people.
Yeah.
You know, they were getting looking at her, and so I said, well, just sort of lay it off on me. So we're walking along, and all of a sudden I hear her say, Daddy, turn around. They want to take your picture. And I turn around, and 500 flashbulbs go off, and, of course, they're shooting her. But I'm waving at the crowd like Richard Nixon or something. And our cameras got that, and it worked beautifully, you know.
So what's the angle now? Is that you're just coming to sort of give your support, or how's that
Well, what happens is that, of course, they couldn't run me again. Actually, we had a nominee by the time we started shooting it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they didn't want to revisit that stuff. So what she has done, she's a kind of gonzo filmmaker, you know, like a documentary filmmaker, like so many of these people. She was always a loose cannon, this character. She got me arrested a lot, and for apartheid stuff.
And so she was really a reactionary, and you had to sort of manage her.
And I'd say, oh God, and they'd try to drag me off to jail and stuff. You know, and she thought that was great.
Or as George Bush said, keep him on a leash. Wasn't that a great metaphor? What did you think of those debates, man?
Right? You know, the Times this morning, they said he came in there oozing confidence.
Bush did?
Yeah. Bush and his guys.
And it was done. Well, by the time it was done, he was just oozing ooze. Because, I mean, there was what confidence could there have been?
There's this piece from MSNBC.com that was reading that just said that, like, in the Bush room where they were waiting, all the Bushies were waiting, you could hear a pin drop. They were just like, after the debates, they're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And you could literally hear it down the hall, the Kerry people like,
Well, he's back in the race, that's for sure.
Oh, man, he was great. He was solid. He was clear. He was tight. He was beautiful.
You know, it's unfortunate that a lot of this is performance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys, you know, you catch a reaction of a guy. I mean, it was very clear. You saw a lot of Bush. You know, here's a guy who doesn't like to be told anything, I'm sure. He's used to barking the orders. I mean, that the way he walks is, I mean, you know, I thought when I saw those debates, that's serious stuff, that swagger.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
it really is.
They have him thinking he's making these decisions.
Right.
Well, I don't know.
They tricked him.
Yeah, right.
Well, the interesting thing is that, like, you know, with Kerry, like, and my producer brought this up, and we had a conversation about that Clutch Larson there in the booth, is that maybe it's high time we had a president that looked and acted like a president, not like some guy who's like a regular guy. Enough with the regular guy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of false, you know, and it's like, who needs it? You're like, let's have a guy that looks like he can run the country.
Yeah, and you see him on the stump, and he gets more southern the farther, deeper south.
It's weird. I mean, if this were a different, like, if he were doing a different job, I'm sure his parents would be like, where did he talk like that? Why is he talking like those people we lived around?
Yeah. You know, it's incredible, too. When you've been out in the middle of the country and other parts of the country, what kind of information are they getting?
Well, this is a real interesting thing. I was out on a bus trip through Colorado and New Mexico on the Silver City thing.
Oh yeah,
and it's great. Chris Christopherson, Chris.
He's amazing.
Chris Cooper's Cooper a really great actor.
Cooper's he plays Bush in quotes in this thing. He's a doofus son of mine. I'm the elder Bush the elder. But anyway, we would go through places like Colorado Springs and. You know, you'd read the New York Times, and then you'd see what the news that these guys get, and they don't get it. They don't get it. They don't. It's all the headlines are about who won the football game on Friday night.
And, oh yeah, yeah.
You know, they just don't.
They also think the theory of relativity is liberal spin.
I mean, the focus on the family is down there, you know, because they gave them a big tax. Uh-huh. So you have all this religion and
literacy
going on.
Yeah, which obfuscates the truth at all times.
But I was just going to tell you that how this played out. When I lost when I lost to Dukakis, I was sabotaged by Jesse Jackson in the 11th hour. The thing died. It was a really interesting, but I was beginning to think, I could do this. I can, you start having delusions.
Hey, this political stuff ain't so hard.
And all of a sudden, I lost the nomination and the series was over. And one day I was down in Atlanta, and 40,000 people were calling Tanner. And then I was on the curb. I was out of work. I know how these guys feel. It's like, they take it all away from me. It's not any fun. So all these years later, this came about. Sundance picked it up and we revisited this thing Bob was. We tried to figure out a way how to do it.
Yeah.
And so they made Cynthia this she'd been down in Guatemala, shooting.
Great. Yeah.
Bob's take on it is that everybody with $1,500 is a filmmaker now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like guitars in the '60s.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So and we'll get some good filmmakers out of this. I mean, because it is the democratization of filmmaking. I mean, people are going to be able to shoot movies now that couldn't before.
So we got to get out of here, Michael Murphy. The show is on tomorrow night.
Yeah, opposite debates.
Oh, yeah.
But it'll be running all up to the election.
And 9 p.m. It was certainly great talking to you. Thanks for coming
by. Thank you so much. Yeah,
we'll take your calls after this at 866-303-2270, and we'll talk to you. We'll talk to Michael another time. Hopefully, we'll talk to you in a minute.
Yeah,
Air America Radio. Want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Are you sick and tired of your bathroom scale dictating your mood? If you're down a pound, great day. But watch out if you're up a pound or two or your clothes get a bit tighter. That is not a good day. If this sounds like you, then I urge you to step off the scale and into the Cordislim lifestyle by calling 800-921-BURN. You know Cordislim people. You run into those Cordislim show-offs constantly. You hear how great and physically fit they feel and how they're going shopping for new clothes. Well, Cordislim people have learned that at least part of their weight issues are related to stress and hormones. Cordislim people don't drive themselves nuts because they've learned the balance of exercise, nutrition, diet, and supplementation. If you're ready, step off the scale and into the Cordislim lifestyle.
Call now and get $20 off when you purchase 2 bottles of Cordislim. $20 off 2 bottles. That's huge. Call 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
For the next few weeks, every water cooler conversation is going to be about the election. Even though you're Mr. or Ms. Liberal, don't let Mary from accounting blindside you with her Republican diatribe.
Mary from accounting.
Get the facts and get the feel for what the right is saying. Laura Ingraham, she's savvy.
Savvy.
She's sharp, even though she swings to the other side.
Laura.
9 a.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific.
Ingraham.
On Sirius Patriot 141.
Want to get your child fired up about playing a sport? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. My wife taught me that it's not a good idea to push your kids into sports. Instead, do things to get them interested. Take them to a tennis match or a baseball game. Then,
Give them a book or magazine on the sport. Maybe even check out a video from the library. Get excited about the sport yourself and let them enjoy the overall experience. For ideas on how to keep your kids motivated once they do get involved with sports, go to FamilyMinute.net for a free information sheet. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hello? Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving.
Hmm.
And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Cap, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Have a good day, dear.
Your mom always told you to take good care of your stuff. And she was right, as usual. It's a fact that regular car maintenance improves gas mileage and performance. Plus, regular maintenance can reduce traffic congestion due to breakdowns and help reduce pollution. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA. Mom would be so proud.
Every day, Americans play a game. The stakes are very high.
Now stepping to the plate, the Smith family going for a home loan. The loan officer's checking their credit report. This one's going to be close.
Wouldn't you like to know what's in your credit report before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and find out how to get your credit report instantly and online for free.
It's a home run.
Log on to freecreditreport.com and win the biggest game of your life. Freecreditreport.com.
To the discriminating driver, a luxurious driving experience isn't an option as much as a requirement. That's why Goodyear developed the new Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. Not only does this tire offer a distinct upscale appearance, it delivers a smooth, quiet, comfortable ride. Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. It's the ultimate accessory for your luxury vehicle. For complete details and the retailer nearest you, call 1-800-GOODYEAR.
Past the hour, morning sedition on Air America Radio. I am Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
The music is, it seems like the computer has a mind of itself. Am I wrong, Caleb?
Oh, God.
What is going on with that? Dillette, if you are in
I
the...
hate Dillette.
Yeah, we hate Dillette. It doesn't, you wouldn't know what that is, but it is a software system, I guess is what you would call it, for radio programming. And I think it's ours has been messed with. It's been tampered with by the Republicans.
What do you expect from something that was developed by the French?
Hey, wait a minute. We're not anti-French here. I enjoy the
French.
I know. I enjoy that. You know what I like
brie
about
cheese?
The French? I don't love brie cheese, and I'm not a big French food guy, but they have done some pretty great stuff. They had some pretty interesting philosophers, and also they have made some pretty interesting films, and I enjoy their land.
Those are...
I've been to their land, and I enjoy the land of France. We know things are tough in the job market right now, so we've decided to help out. We scanned through the Sunday Help Wanted listings and found this for the Morning Sedition Monday job listing.
I hope
here we go.
Positions are still open in the field of election worker for Afghanistan's October 9th presidential election. Here are the two basic jobs that election workers will perform. The first is that of poll worker. These people work at polling places throughout the country on election day. Work begins sometime after the gathering of dried roots and drainage water for sustenance and usually ends when an RPG crashes through the window and the foreigner in charge of things gets kidnapped for a beheading. Note, a training class is usually mandatory, but since we'd like to increase the odds of you living through lunchtime, we'll waive this requirement. Poll workers must have good understanding of the voting process, but not so good as to realize the complete futility of attempting this process while in the midst of a civil war. Candidates are also being sought for the position of absentee vote counter. As in America, this requires a much smaller workforce, usually between 4 and 5 people to operate the shredders. The ideal candidate must be registered to vote, have at least one good eye, one usable stump, and one female member of their family not yet sold into bondage. Having a secret place in the back of your mind to repress traumatic events is a plus. Interested applicants are to meet near the brown Humvee that can never stop moving. Good luck and good voting. There you go. That's some fun. That wasn't sophomoric. I found that to be very intelligent.
There you go.
So, Paul in Manhattan, how are you?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, hi, guys.
What's going on?
Fire truck, everybody. one other Michael Murphy role I love is Brewster McCloud is like one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Forgot all about that.
But I was on a bus trip on Saturday to Pennsylvania, two buses, went and we registered nonpartisanly, about 496 people.
Congratulations.
And it was great. We went through Citizen Action, and we were out in... in kind of the middle, like around Bucks County, Pennsylvania, we had to be nonpartisan, and that was kind of difficult. But the second person that I had to register, I asked, I told her that she could pick a party or she could be non-affiliated.
Yeah.
Explained to her why, you know, if you want to vote in a primary, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Well, which party is Bush with?" And I'm like, "Okay, he is the Republican." She's like, "Good, I'm a Democrat, then. I hate that guy."
Oh, that's
there
amazing.
You go.
So this is probably somebody who's never voted before.
Yeah, she's never voted before. We actually got quite a few people who had never voted before. But,
that must have been hard, though. Good for you to when they chose Republican, not to, for you to go, "Are you sure?"
And this one guy was, you know, like, "Oh, you know, what do you think of the draft? And what do you think?" And I'm, "Sir, I'm not really allowed to. This is just getting, you know, the more people to vote, the better for our democracy," blah, blah, blah. And we had, you know, and we had people who checked off Republican, but unlike Republicans, we actually brought them into the Board of Elections and deposited them like they're supposed to be. They didn't actually end up in something on the back of the bus in the garbage or something.
So wait, so now what did you actually, had a bus where you drive people?
We actually, this is a bus organization, Citizen Action. And
okay.
Two buses, we filled them up. Bus was totally packed. And we
was there singing of any kind? Was there any singing or camp songs? Or?
Not really. Everybody was pretty much reading The Nation and The New York Times and yelling about David Brooks' column and stuff.
Okay.
And talking, and we just had a really good time and got down there, and we got sent it out in groups of two on each street. We'd each catch the different sides of the street and go from house to house and knock on doors. And a lot of people were really nice, and a lot of people were like, "Not interested." And I'm like, "Not interested in voting? I mean, this is, you know."
Oh, did you say that?
Yeah, I said, "I'm, you know, I said, you really don't care about voting?" And then I had a guy.
And what were the answers?
Just not interested.
Not interested, yeah.
And I had one guy who said he couldn't vote because he was a Jehovah's Witness. And I was like, and I walked away from the house, and I was thinking, is that right? Can they not vote? So I went back, and I asked the guy, like, "You know, I'm a little new to this. Can you, you know, explain this to me?" And he said it had something to do with God's law superseding people's law. And
so not even he was clear on it?
Yeah, he said he was kind of new to it.
Yeah.
He was over 18, so I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
That's outrageous.
That's funny, though. They are allowed to go door to door, like
yeah,
you were.
Exactly.
But they're not
gonna,
allowed,
yeah,
not
I was
allowed to
able
vote.
To read Awake, but he already had that.
That's unbelievable. Paul, thanks for talking with us. Check in again if you do something exciting like that.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay,
all right.
Take it easy. That's wild.
Yeah.
Not interested.
Well, you know, I think the Times did a piece recently about groups of people from here in the New York area who were going out on the road. I don't know if it's specifically Citizen Action, but I do know they had a piece about people going on the road registering folks to vote.
Let me do this then. Again, today's deadlines. Today is the deadline for Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. If you're not registered and you live in those states, you got to go do it today.
Board of Elections, folks, your county Board of Elections will have the forms. If you can't get them any other way, you can probably get online and get those forms as well.
Download them. Oh, yeah, definitely.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, we've got Planet Bush.
Yes.
We've got Rob Corddry. From The Daily Show. We've got more of you on the telephones. And we've got other stuff,
Absolutely.
As Mark Maron likes to say, here on Air America Radio.
Serious.
Get serious about your vote.
Hello, America. This is Mary Beth from New Hampshire. And in November, it is so important that you vote. That is what makes a democratic republic work. That is our voice. That is how we protest what is going on in our country. So please vote in November. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ron from New Jersey. This is the most important election of our time because we can't afford four more years of George W. Bush. If you think these first 4 years were scary, wait for the next four when he doesn't have to worry about a re-election and his doctrine of preemption is used to attack countries like Iran and Syria and we lose thousands more of our brave young men. So this November 2nd, I beg you to please vote for John Kerry to change our future and improve our country.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius. Compromise off. Sirius on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Sirius. It's on. 5-800 for Barron's.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gelman. From all indications, there will be more and more Americans participating in this year's election. A report this morning points to the deluge of registration forms being processed at boards of election around the country. The New York Times reports this morning that there has been a huge surge from Pennsylvania to Oregon. Election officials say they witnessed the increase a week before Labor Day. Today is the final day of registration in Pennsylvania and Ohio. Those are two states both Bush and John Kerry have been spending a considerable amount of time trying to win over the undecided voter. Veteran civil rights leader and former presidential aspirant, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, told Air America this morning that the black vote is the nation's real swing vote. Jackson maintains the absence of black America at the polls on Election Day could work well for the current administration, and they know it. Jackson joined John Kerry yesterday in Ohio in charging the GOP with staging an effort to suppress the black vote. Jackson contends there's a nationwide effort by the Republican Party to suppress the black vote, like what happened in Florida in the 2000 contest. In other news, Palestinian militants are following through with threats to keep bombing Israeli towns. Despite a massive Israeli offensive, Palestinians have fired two rockets at an Israeli town in the Gaza Strip. Hamas is claiming responsibility for the attack. Rescue workers say one person was slightly wounded. Army and local officials say at least a half dozen Palestinians have been killed in the Gaza violence as of today. Casualty count from this morning's car bombing near Baghdad's heavily guarded Green Zone has risen to at least 15. More than 80 others have been wounded. It was the first of two bombings in the Iraqi capital. Second car bomb exploded in an area near several hotels, causing an unspecified number of casualties. Editor of the Crawford Texas Weekly is fighting for his life and that of the publication. This after a dozen businesses decided to pull their ads from the paper. This after the newspaper in President Bush's hometown threw its support behind the candidacy of John Kerry. Publisher Leon Smith of the Lone Star Iconoclast says he would do it all over again. Smith endorsed Kerry in an editorial last month, citing his dissatisfaction with Bush over the war in Iraq, the economy, Social Security, education, and other issues. Publication with a small circulation of 425 has become scarce, with a couple of copies showing up on eBay, the online auction site. And with the first presidential debate behind the nation, all eyes are now focused on the debate tomorrow night between Vice President Dick Cheney and challenger Senator John Edwards. Edwards has been taking a low profile in the campaign until last week. The debate will take place at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. It will be the only debate of their campaign. Their styles and substance are different, but many pundits saying there will be plenty of material for each to fire on.
Hi, honey, I'm home.
What do you mean I'm fat?
I didn't say that.
I'm tired of your attitude. You're always putting me down.
I never said you were fat. I just got...
See? You said I was fat again.
No, you said you were fat.
Some things aren't worth debating.
Some things are. Live presidential debate coverage and reaction. Friday night on Sirius Right 142, Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius NPR Now 106.
Honey?
Shut up.
This is Earth and Sky. A listener wrote to ask if a compass would work on the moon.
If you landed on the moon, your compass needle would move, but it wouldn't point north, south, or any other useful direction. That's because, unlike Earth, the moon doesn't have a global magnetic field to pull on a compass needle.
A compass needle is just a magnet. And like all magnets, it has a north pole and a south pole. Earth itself acts like a magnet in the sense that it has a magnetic field and a north and south magnetic pole. Because magnetic opposites attract, a compass needle's south pole is tugged toward Earth's north magnetic pole. That's why a compass needle is said to point north.
Like Earth, most planets in our solar system have global magnetic fields. You could trust your compass on Mercury, Saturn, Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune, and several of Jupiter's moons. But what these planets and moons have in common is a liquid core, or middle layer, that conducts electricity and is influenced by the planet or moon's spin. This movement generates an invisible magnetic field that wraps around the globe.
Our moon, however, is thought to have either a solid core or a very small liquid core, so it doesn't have magnetic poles. But it does have magnetic rocks on its surface. So, on the moon, your compass needle would spin randomly as you walked. To learn more, visit our website at earthsky.org. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, part-time Buddhas, delusional, self-centered, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. You know who I'm talking to, you two women out there. Call me sophomoric. Good morning, man boys and woman girls, tops and bottoms of all kinds. Good morning, Boston, on WKOX 1200 a.m. and WXKS 1430 a.m. Also, a special thanks to our listeners in Portland, Maine, WLVP 870 a.m., whose strong support convinced the station's new owners to keep Air America on the air in Portland indefinitely.
Yeah!
That was a beautiful bit of business you guys pulled off up there. Y'all know that we are here to take down the belligerent, smug, arrogant, faux Christian, AWOL blow monkey puppet of the Cheney regime's neocon death cult. You know that's what we're up to here. We are happy to be in Boston. I lived in Boston many years, Mark Riley. You like Boston?
I spend quality time in Boston.
Boston's a very interesting place. They call it a liberal bastion, and you know, it's certainly Cambridge is very liberal, and certainly the
South Boston less so.
Dude, you can go to Boston and be there for a week and not see a black person.
Yes, I know.
They hide their black people differently than any other city I've ever seen.
Roxbury and Dorchester. That's about it.
That's right.
That's what
right.
You got.
And Mattapan, which is farther out by Milton. But it's amazing how white Boston is.
But there is a large liberal community. I hope we're getting out to everybody that wants to hear us. I lived in Somerville. I lived in Brookline. I lived in Davis Square in Somerville years ago before it became, I think they sort of redid it. It was still not, it wasn't gritty, but it was Somerville, Davis Square, you know. Red Bones Barbecue. I'd like to say hi to you guys. But man, I love that place. That's the best barbecue place I've ever been to.
Really?
I was there when it opened. Linda and, what was her? And Karen and what was that guy? Hey, anyways, I used to love going there. I was in Boston. I was in Boston for years. Also, time to reach out to our Republicans who want to come in and wrestle one of the hosts.
Yeah,
right?
Trumps.
Come on, you wussies. Let's go. We got an email here from somebody that says, I'm registered independent, but can I take you up on the challenge? Regards, Lou. Well, Lou, don't act like we don't know you, Lou. It's very civil, but unfortunately dishonest. See, Lou, Lou has been writing us since day one. We have about 60 emails from him on file. And when he says he's an independent, you can tell he's like a Bill O'Reilly independent. Take a listen to some of these things he's written since April. This guy writes every week at least, man. Listen to this. Florida voting. The Democrats sued to block the counting of overseas military votes in 2000. Is that, quote-unquote, supporting the troops? After the election, many news organizations conducted their own recount. The results? Gore lost, but don't report that. Lou from New York. How about this? Polls indicate the constant bashing of Bush is driving voters away from the Democratic ticket. Can you spell backfire? Too bad Air America Radio just does not get it. That's from Lou, the independent.
Hi, Lou.
Here, how about this? The internet stream is off the air now, so I guess the experiment is over. Good luck, Lou in New York. Lou, this is him predicting our early demise. Well, hey, Lou, let me just take a minute to say hello to Florida, Wisconsin, San Diego, Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, California, Boston, Portland, Maine. How about
Albuquerque,
Miami, Phoenix? Yeah, good luck to you, Lou, and no, we don't want you. But keep listening, because we know you love us, Lou. We know. So that's that. So we're still taking emails, and this one
has promise.
You want to read it?
Yeah, I'll read it.
All right.
Losers! I just heard you call for a Republican to come on your show for a fight. Well, I'm 5'6", 145 pounds. I'm a Manhattanite, and I'll gladly take up your offer. And you know what? I'll beat your ass. You know why? Because you liberal Americans are nothing but a bunch of cheese-eating surrender monkeys, and there's no way you'll ever go through with it. I'd love to come down to your show just to see the look on your face when someone actually takes you up on your empty challenge. By the way, you chickens have no idea what it's like to be fed up. I've been living in this city that I love for 25 years, and I'm sick of dealing with liberals like you thinking you can run this city. Remember, Rudy Giuliani equals Republican. David Dinkins equals Democrat.
Oh.
I'll see you in the studio.
Oh.
Wussies.
Wow.
Dave from Manhattan, registered Republican.
Dude.
Come on, Dave, let's do this.
I think that's our guy.
I think that's the guy.
I have to admit, though, I've been cutting down the cheese, but occasionally I am a surrender monkey.
I got three words for Dave. Protect your neck. You come in here, we'll house you.
That's right. We'll get in touch with Dave. I think he might be our guy. So, I've got this weird problem. We got to talk about some stuff before I start noodling on about this and that. We got Rob Corddry coming on in a couple, little while.
From The Daily Show?
About 20 minutes, one of the correspondents on The Daily Show. Of course, The Daily Show, which needs more press. I can't, even here at Air America, man, it's like, you know, like we get up, there's a producer here, Shelley Lewis. I don't want to mention names, but Shelley Lewis. almost every day we go upstairs after our show, and she'll be like, that was a good show. You could ask a little more thorough a question. All right, so every day it's like good show.
Does she sound that much like Al Franken?
No, am I being too nasally? I'm sorry. Hey, impression aside. You know, there's a sort of loaded compliment that kind of subtracts itself as it, you know, enters the ether. And then, you know, the sort of, you know, slight after that. And then within 10 minutes after anything she says, she will come in and go, did you guys see Stuart last night? He really nailed it. You know, every day. Did you guys want Stuart? I think he's really got something. Like, all right, well, great. Well, why don't you go work there? Unbelievable.
I mean, if I have to hear it, like, look at Krieger is in the booth hiding. Doug Krieger, the president of Air America, is cowering behind Clutch Larson and P.W. McDonald in the booth, thinking I won't see him, think I'm not going to take him to task. What did Krieger say he was going to do that he hasn't? What? Wait, are you talking to me, Larson? Because I can't hear you.
No, he was talking to me. Oh. He wants us to identify the Krieger.
Doug Krieger is the president of Air America
and
Radio.
CEO.
Oh, I'm sorry, CEO. I'm sorry, John, there's another president. Do any of those guys, does it matter? What, anyone can print a business card, Krieger.
No. He's the CEO. He signs your checks. No, actually, Sinton signs your checks.
Hey, Krieger, did you see Stuart last night? He was genius. Go ask Shelley. She'll give you the whole lowdown on it. So,
is he even on Sundays? My God.
He's on all the time. I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway, so Krieger, I guess we had him on air and everyone, you know, a couple weeks ago. Now he sort of lingers around. Like,
well,
hey,
we should bring him in. He's probably here for an early sales meeting, like usual.
You want to say hi to your new Boston listeners, Krieger? Maybe your son
Mr.
can pick
Krieger
this up
to you. CEO Krieger to you, pal.
I'm sorry. I'm being disrespectful.
You certainly are.
Mr. Krieger, I apologize.
That's right. I know how to suck up if you don't.
So
I'll save this show one way or the other.
So sit down, Doug. You got a minute. Don't hurt yourself.
You guys are worried about your jobs.
What are you talking about? No. Now, can your son, the Potter, hear us now up there? Isn't he?
He's in Cape Cod, though.
Probably taking his son to school.
Oh, does the signal that we got in Boston, does it go further than 5 miles?
The optimist told me.
I hope so. Actually, I'm here to see Cordray.
The Daily Show.
That kind of hurts.
Yeah, well, hey.
Wow.
You asked for it, Mary.
I want to see what it's like on radio.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping he'll bring in some good stuff, you know what I mean? Because God knows, like I said, that the Daily Show needs a little. You know, it's interesting how they've got this this whole publicity machine. Do you understand how that works? That you have a show, and they actually have a publicity machine behind their show. You know, they have billboards. Have you seen the billboards for the Daily Show? I'm just wondering.
I didn't know. Is that how the media works?
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that
learn something new every day, right?
I know. You've been a little caught up with your web project.
You know, we're learning.
You're learning how to put Al Franken billboards up. Where's the morning?
Wait, Randy Rhoads is in Times Square.
Whoa.
If you want
to
get angry.
We don't care about Randy Rhoads in Times Square.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You mean Randy Rhoads, the one who ran Patti Smith out of her studio last week?
Actually, who's Patti Smith?
Comedy Central is an advertiser.
Oh, they're an advertiser?
Yeah.
Oh, well, in that case.
That helps.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Wait. Well, maybe I'm not getting through.
Yeah.
See this? Look at me and Riley. See me and Riley? Yeah. Can you imagine the picture? Picture me and Riley on a billboard. Mark in the morning.
I can. There's no question I can picture that.
Okay, well, let me crunch the numbers for you a little bit more. How about just little stickers? Can you get some little stickers?
Bumper stickers.
No. We don't want bumper stickers. It's New York.
No.
No one drives
here. We want toilet stall stickers.
Yes, we want stickers that we can stick on things.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, ATM stickers.
Did you see the Morning's Edition t-shirt?
You can get that
at morningsedition.com.
Yeah.
No,
I like the logo. And actually,
I'm too fat in the logo.
The guy that did the Flash stuff.
No, he did. Yeah. Wasn't that great?
That is great.
I'm too fat in those things.
Do you know why he did the Flash stuff?
Because Mark Maron asked him.
Because it was free.
Because it was taking a long time to get the website going. Oh, Brendan, P.W. McDonald's got our shirt on. You see that?
Yeah, there you go.
See, that's me and Riley. Look at the cartoons. Wouldn't that look good? Great on a billboard or maybe some publicity, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. I'm getting the picture.
You want publicity? What's on your mind? Do you have something you want to say?
I'm getting more radicalized.
Huh? Ah, okay. Yeah.
What did you say?
He's getting more radicalized.
Did you see the Dr. O piece on our website?
Do we have a
his
website?
Reading? His reading. No, seriously. The reading he did.
I'd like to admit, I actually worked with the E.L. Doctorow's son on a TV project once, and I have a book of E.L. Doctorow's I'd like to return to him.
Why?
His son, we actually were writing a script, and we went to the Doctorow apartment down by NYU, and there was a book on the bookshelf that I wanted to read, so I...
You want to read a book?
You geeked it?
Don't even start with me, Krieger. I read more books than you can ever imagine. You know? Somehow or another, your liberalism is stuck in 1964, you know, and like, I'm keeping up to date. Tell me a little bit about Richard Clark's book. Did you enjoy that? Did you read it? Or is it... No, you didn't, did you, Krieger? I'm up on it.
Well, I watched...
I'm sure that you've read Franken's book two or three times.
I heard enough on Fox News about it. I got it.
I got the message.
Right. Hi, honey. Can you update my resume, please?
I will. I can answer both.
Here's the poster of it. They're shooting a TV show here with Franken. Ah, Don, thanks a lot for making the network.
Next thing you'll know, he has a CD or something out.
Oh, Lord, not that, too. Okay. Available in the store near you.
We're going to be back without Doug Krieger in a second. and we need you to call if you want to be part of our Mad Lib adventure. The right wing is still trying to spin Bush's debate loss. Now they're claiming Kerry cheated, that he had a cheat sheet with him. Well, we blew up the video and got a look at Kerry's notes, but we couldn't make out everything, so we need your help filling in the blanks. If you know how to play Mad Libs, you know how to do this. Give us a call, 866-303-2270. Doug, it was great talking to you. I hope I'm still here tomorrow. And it's 18 past the hour. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio. Call us here at Morning Sedition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Oh, sorry. That's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
Planet. I never thought of Dr. Brown, Dr. Planet at all.
That's Fat Mike from the punk band NoFX and PunkVoter.com.
Well, PunkVoter.com is the organization we started after the 2000 presidential election, and we've been building it for almost 4 years now. We've got a couple hundred bands that all are taking a stand.
Billy Joe from Green Day, The Offspring, and Jane Wheeland from The Go-Go's have also jumped on the bandwagon.
No Doubt have just joined up with us, and the Foo Fighters. I don't want to be another What is George Bush doing? He's dismantling 30 years of environmental law. He's a scary man. He's not a compassionate conservative. He's a religious fundamentalist.
Check out www.pumpvoter.com for news items and T-shirts for sale.
The more money we get, the more advertisement we're doing, and the more bands we can get on the road to educate the kids of America on what's going on.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Hi, Jeff Levy here from the Computer News Show with a great technology tip. You'd love to work from home or while traveling, but everything you need is on your office PC. Here's your solution. Go to My PC. Go to My PC lets you access your office PC from anywhere over the Internet. Simply log on to gotomypc.com and your desktop instantly appears just as if you were in the office. Work with all your programs and files, check email, and access any network resource remotely. With GoToMyPC, anything you can do at your office PC, you can now do from anywhere. You can try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMyPC.com, click the Radio Listeners button, and use the promo code AMERICA. That's GoToMyPC.com, Radio Listeners button, promo code AMERICA. Try GoToMyPC.com free today. You'll love it.
Former Hershey Syrup
is size and his speed make him one of the most dangerous wide receivers in the NFL. And Keyshawn Johnson's weekly radio show, heard exclusively on Sirius, takes you inside the game for a player's perspective. Back to last week's game. What went wrong? What went right? Then previews the upcoming Big Sunday game. Keyshawn Johnson, taking it to the house. Thursday night, 8 Eastern, NFL Radio, Sirius 124.
How does arguing with your spouse affect your kids? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Some family experts say that lots of arguing results in more aggression between kids. But there's an upside to observing conflict between parents. When you handle it properly, kids can learn how to discuss problems and how to resolve them. And they can see that relationships and family life improve as a result. So, it's okay to disagree openly and calmly with your spouse, as long as you respect and listen to one another. Focus on working toward a solution and not letting anger get the better of you. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
The average parent thinks they're prepared for a medical emergency. They know if their child has allergies or how to call 911. But the average parent doesn't know how to treat severe burns or what to do when a child stops breathing. You can't always prevent emergencies, but you can be better prepared. Call 1-888-ASK-HRSA for more information. That's toll-free, 1-888-ASK-HRSA. Brought to you by the Emergency Medical Services for Children.
Past the hour here on Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
You're listening to Air America Radio. We just got a phone call from a dude named Marco in Rhode Island driving to work saying we're coming in loud and clear in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
So that's good news, man. That's a good signal. Krieger, you did good this time. But don't come back in. Don't come back in. Please, please. What are we working on here? Okay, here we go. We got the presidential pilot. Ramon brought this earlier. Here's the president's schedule for today. 6:30 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. He cheated. 9 a.m. Read the one review that said I won the debate. Thank you, Kenny Bunkport, Daily Shopper. 11:15 a.m. Sign Working Families Tax Relief Act of 2004, Des Moines, Iowa. Note, by working families, this refers to the Rockefellers, the Trumps, the Gates, the DuPonts. 12:45 p.m. Participate in an Ask President Bush event, Clive, Iowa. Have Rove plant a young mother in the audience to ask, my 7-year-old saw Kerry cheat during the debates. How can I ever explain that to him? 6 p.m., back to Washington, training session with Shaolin Debate Master. See if I can snatch victory from the palm of Kerry's hands. 8 p.m., call Cheney about tomorrow night's debate, if he's still taking my calls. 9 p.m., float rumor to Drudge. How did Kerry stay so calm? Drugs, and more drugs. See what happens. Can't hurt. 11 p.m., bedtime. This actually is hard work. Someone on the blog was writing about... who responded to when I talked about Randy Rhodes and Patti Smith. Like, because the next day after Patti Smith left her studio in a little bit of a huff because she was feeling attacked by Randy, which she was attacked by Randy. Randy did this, like, really long sort of, like, it's horrible when your heroes disappoint you. I loved her. She knew it was a political show, but it was just a sort of prolonged rationalization. I listened to both of them. I listened to when Patti Smith was in the studio and then the sort of explanation afterwards. And it was just like, she's a rock and roll person. She's a poet. Have her read her poetry. Have her give her... I certainly can't give instructions to Randy Rhodes, but I just felt bad for Patti Smith. That's all I'm saying. So do we have a call here? Do we have some people that are ready to do this? John Wayne in Boston.
Uh-oh.
How are you, buddy?
Hey,
I'm
Duke.
Cool. How you doing, guys?
All right.
You want to do this Mad Lib thing?
I'd love to.
Okay, so this is what Drudge says that he pulled something out of his pocket, and yeah. We don't know what it is. So, but here's what we need.
Okay.
We're going to try and fill in the blanks for this cheat sheet. And your name is John Wayne. You're on the phone. Is that your real name?
That's my first and middle name. Yep.
Uh-oh. Did they do it after John Wayne? John Wayne?
Yeah, because it's a long story, but yeah.
Okay, so here we go. Just give us the word. can you abbreviate this story? Oh, we've only got 2 minutes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'd like
to hear more about it, but we're going to move on. All right, I need a threat.
Need a threat?
Yes.
Do I have like more than one word then, huh?
I don't know. Just see what comes up.
Okay. Well, besides breakfast.
Okay.
Let's see.
Breakfast is good.
Breakfast. Okay.
Okay. Now we need another threat.
Need another threat. Okay. A punch in the face.
Okay, punch in the face. Now we need a non-threat.
A non-threat. Shake his hand.
Okay. How about a funny noise?
A funny noise. Snork.
Snork. Okay. Yeah. How about now we need a noun?
A noun. Okay, let's see.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep clean ones in my head.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. How about... Face.
Okay, faith as a face, face.
Yeah, F-A-A-C.
Okay,
yeah.
Recreation, a recreation.
A recreation, running.
Mm-hmm. How about a recreational drug?
Oh, a recreational drug. Okay.
No, and that, yeah.
A recreation with drug, or what should I...
A drug, a recreational drug, a fun drug.
Recreational drug, okay, No, I'm going to say smack. That would...
Smack's good, yeah.
Okay.
How about a plural noun?
A plural noun, let's see, jerks.
Okay, jerks. How about a country?
A country.
Yeah.
Okay, Poland.
Okay, how about something French-sounding?
Something French-sounding. What the heck is that? Something of Italian words for some reason.
I'm waiting for you to go, pass. How about a... hey, John Wayne, stay on the phone. We'll finish this up in a minute. We got to take a break, so hang out.
All right. Wow, he has some interesting stuff there. When we come back, we're going to finish the Mad Lib. The Daily Show's Rob Corddry joins us. Recovery Corner and the Liberal Agenda all up next on Air America Radio.
Here's today's Workers' Independent News Service Dow Bob Report. I'm Jesse Russell. Next time you see construction workers or truck drivers, make sure you thank them for putting their lives on the line every day. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the construction and transportation industries ranked highest amongst the most deadly employment sectors last year. Of the 5,559 people who died on the job, 1,126 were in construction and 805 were in trucking. Those sectors were followed by the agriculture, forestry, fishing, and hunting category with 707 deaths.
This Dow Bob Report brought to you by the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Analysts say millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Yet another report of pressure this morning for reenlistment or else Iraq. The Army continues to deny the charge, but the Los Angeles Times reports that several soldiers in the Army have been asked to sign up again for another tour or else they could be sent to Iraq. The charges are now the subject of a congressional investigation. Democrats have retiring Senator Zell Miller. The Republicans have Rhode Island's Lincoln Chafee, who has certainly voiced his displeasure with some of the actions of the Bush White House. Chafee says he's not ready to defect, but he will issue a protest vote in November by voting for Bush's father. The Democrats, meanwhile, are not hiding their interest in recruiting him. Ongoing rebellion in Iraq continues to hamper efforts to stage a trial for former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein. All parties to be involved in the trial say the environment in Iraq is just unsafe for a trial right now or the immediate future. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Now serving for the match, it's Jimmy Wang. Serves to Lee. Wang. Lee. Backhand by Wang. Lee. Wang, with a tremendous forehand, wins the World Series of Ping Pong. There's the World Series, and then there's the World Series. The season wraps up. For some, it's going to be a long, cold winter, but one team will call themselves world champs. The season wraps up on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120. Go to Sirius.com for the game broadcast schedule.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. All this week, I'll be making heavenly matches between my favorite cars and your sun signs. When I come back, Caroscopes for Gemini and Cancer.
I'm Bobby Likas with a tip about fuel injectors. The manufacturer that pioneered the best fuel injector cleaning equipment also makes the best fuel injector cleaner. That company is BG Products. Professionals use BG's 44K to eliminate injector fouling. If you expect professional results, ask for a professional product. Ask your shop for BG44K or go to BGFindashop.com. That's BGFindashop.com.
Here are horoscopes for Gemini and Cancer. Gemini, the twins pair perfectly with a Prius hybrid. Just like the versatile, out-of-the-box, always-on-the-move people born under this sign, the Prius epitomizes the power of duality with its electric motor and gasoline engine. Bluetooth technology and unmatched gas mileage are just two reasons to buy. Cancer. Okay, you dreamy moon child, sign of many moods, it's no secret that you love attention, and you'll get plenty in BMW 6 Series convertible. Your crabby side will hide itself as you pilot this iDriving beauty, which motors like a dream and cleverly divides the cockpit into two zones, driving and comfort. I'll take both. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Hi, my name is Joe from Melrose, Minnesota. I'm voting for John Kerry because family values is not saddling our kids and grandkids with trillions of dollars in debt. Get out and vote. If you don't vote, you can't complain later.
Glenn from Plumo, Wisconsin. Democrats are telling us the world's coming to an end. The United States is going to become a third world nation. Poverty, starvation is all around the corner. We're done for. But now I have the best paying job I've ever had. My wife has the best paying job she ever had. And we own our own home. Democrats are idiots. I will never, never vote for a Democrat.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Samantha Randall from West Virginia. I was just calling to tell y'all, on Election Day, vote for John Kerry all the way, baby.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name three kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name three kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Research shows that the highest achieving students attend schools with good library media centers. It's easy to see why. School library media centers across the country have been helping teachers bring lessons to life. With computers, videos, books, and more for years. The Campaign for America's Libraries reminds you that school library media specialists help students develop the information searching skills they need to succeed throughout their lives.
All systems ready.
Cool.
Lifelong learning begins at your library.
1, 2, 3. Post-debate, isolate, medicate. Goodbye, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft. Hello, Jack Daniels, Jim Beam, Johnny Walker. There's your choice, buddy. You can hang around with the old crowd, 12 years old, age in oak barrels, or you can call me, okay? I'm here to help. I'm not going anywhere, and since it looks like you're not going anywhere either, we should get coffee and talk about your future, all right? But anyway, keep the plug in the jug. Bend your knees before you bend your elbows. You got one foot in yesterday, the other foot in tomorrow. You're peeing on today. Think, think, think. Get to a meeting. There you go. That's me helping out. We got to finish up this this Mad Lib thing. Then we're going to talk to Rob Corddry. So where were we, John Wayne?
Yeah, well, we're talking about Mad Libs. Well, what's the deal?
Something French sounding. I hope that you figured this out over the last 5 minutes.
Okay, passé.
Okay, passé. Did I just hurt your feelings? I'm sorry, buddy. You're doing a great job.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. poor guy. Like, oh. John's like, I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to play anymore.
I quit.
All right. How about a corporation?
A corporation?
You forgot one.
Oh, yeah, you didn't give me that one.
Oh, okay, wait. I just one before that.
All right, Enron.
Okay. How about a small container?
A small container. Cup.
Good. That's good. How about a world leader?
A world leader. Well, we know it's not George.
That's right.
Tony Blair.
Tony Blair. Okay. A recreational event.
A recreational event. Boxing.
Okay. How about a noun? You have a noun? Another noun in you?
A noun. Okay. Face.
Face? Didn't we use face once?
No, I never not face. Okay. Ham.
Ham, as in like a ham and cheese
as
sandwich?
Ham and cheese, yeah.
Oh, that was good. Right, John Wayne. Well, thanks for your input. We're going to be reading it in our next segment.
Sounds cool.
Okay,
appreciate
buddy. Thanks for listening.
I learned my name, Mark Riley, someplace.
Okay. Well, say hi to him and tell him to listen to our show.
Will do.
Okay,
all right.
Buddy. Bye-bye. Thanks a lot.
Great job.
All right. Take care. That was John Wayne in Boston listening to us on our new...
Hope it's not John Wayne Bobbitt.
What? Right now, we are pleased to have in our studio this morning the correspondent from The Daily Show. Everybody knows who you are. Rob Corddry is here.
Hi, guys.
Hey,
you
Rob.
Might wanna, after the show, you might want to go up and say hi to Shelley Lewis, because she's a producer here who's a tremendous fan of The Daily Show. And,
really?
Yeah, dismisses our show entirely.
No, I don't. I don't say hi to people.
Oh, good.
I'm too big. I don't say hi.
I saw Ed the other night at a comedy club, and boy, man.
Wow, yeah.
People were just grouping around it. Yeah. I didn't want to say it.
That was terrible.
Yeah, it was
terrible. Terrible.
No, it was nice to see him. So what are you guys working on over there? What are you covering now?
I can't wait until the election's over.
Yeah.
So I can go back to covering... you know, the important issues, like Sasquatch and, you know, somebody that whose, I don't know, cows are being stolen by aliens. I'm really sick of both of these jackasses.
Nothing but politics crap.
Exactly.
What's been the high point of the covering politics when you're out there? What, like, a story that you tell your friends, like, dude, this, you got, I got to tell you this.
Dennis Kucinich was afraid of me. I struck fear in the heart of a presidential candidate, and there's no kind of power like that. I was like, so exciting. Well, we did a bit at one of the debates where he was, he blew it, basically. I asked him a question, and I was eating a peanut butter sandwich at the time, so my question came out garbled.
Yeah.
And he said, clean out your mouth, then come talk to me, and walked away. And then one of his handlers said, that's a guy from The Daily Show. And he was like, oh, crap. And came back and really tried to, like, fix the bit and just dug himself a deeper hole and knew it. And then we saw him at the next debate.
Yeah.
And this was, we didn't even have a camera on. This was like in the lobby of the hotel. I was in my underwear, you know. And he kind of turned around and walked out of the lobby really fast.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about
I started throwing things at him. I had one of those paperclip bullets.
Yeah, and when he flipped around, you're like, what?
Yeah,
I didn't that. Some guy just
was like, hi.
Yeah. So what about this campaign? What have been some weird moments on this campaign?
None. I don't think there has been. No. I don't think there's been one. Pretty normal.
Yeah,
I think. Just run-of-the-mill.
Seems legit. Everything's
campaign.
On the level.
Well, what's crazy about this campaign is that so many people are registered to vote now.
That's good, right?
I don't know. It's confusing to me. I can't process it. There's too many people vote. I'm not going to vote because it's just going to be too crowded at the polls.
Yeah, it's crazy now with everybody coming out to vote.
That was my special thing.
I could count on just taking the afternoon, getting some quiet time.
Oh, seeing my voting friends.
Yeah.
Now there's going to be all these wide-eyed people like, what do I do?
Oh, excited.
Hold on. This is fun. And then next time there's going to be more people voting.
It's
and,
crazy. Look at, man, it's a slippery slope to democracy working.
Yuck. That's what makes democracy exciting, is that it doesn't work.
Absolutely, and it can be fixed and manipulated.
Yeah.
So what about the debates? Did you get to watch them?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
I did, yeah. It was pretty terrifying. I was in a bad mood anyway, and I was watching in a dark office at The Daily Show, literally in my underwear. That I was joking before, I'm not now. I was in my underwear. And
why were you in your underwear at work?
Okay, I understand.
Okay, so you're watching
the debate, in the dark, the blue light of the debate, you know, radiating on my face, and I realized about half an hour into it, I started thinking, boy, I can't wait till the pundits tell me who won this debate, and I got so angry at myself. You know, I had to splash some cold water on my underwear. And I was just so, I couldn't believe it. I mean, it happened to me.
So did you guys, what was the coverage on The Daily Show? I think I just read about it in a oddly, a piece talking about how great The Daily Show is in the New York Times. And I'm being sarcastic because I've never read anything but good reviews of the
Daily
Show.
Oh, we're media darlings.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful.
We're media
darlings.
It's a
funny show. It's a well-honed machine, and it's very effective, and it's a great show, and I like it.
Thank you very much,
And
Mark.
I like you as well.
I like you.
Aww.
This is great.
Isn't it fun?
This is great.
It's unbelievable. Another stroke?
Wow. He's hugging me. He's hugging me really tight.
Yeah, yeah.
Take that.
Yeah.
You gotta clip your nails.
I got a question.
Okay.
The idea that a lot of people, young people in particular, get their news from watching the Daily Show, does it surprise you? Does it bother you?
Oh, boy. You know, I get this question 5 times a day, and I really
wish
I had...
Well, this is the first, I hope.
it is the first of the day. And I really wish that I wish I came up with a... I need a stock answer for that one.
Should we write one for you?
Let's do it.
So the question is, how do you feel about young people actually getting their news from you on the Daily Show? It's maybe you should say something like, "Young people, is that who's watching the show?"
Yeah, that's
something like that.
That's
about
young people. I don't know. I'm out. Well, all right. How about this one? I get all my comedy from CNN.
that's clever. The old twist.
I'm a senior correspondent on the Daily Show. That's what I do.
And we'll be right back with Rob Corddry in a second, so keep listening. I got an idea. Just a reminder, I don't want to pressure you, but you got to do this soon, all right? Register to vote. Please, you can do it on morningsedition.com where it says register to vote. Thank you.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
Serious.
Hi, honey, I'm home.
What do you mean I'm fat?
I didn't say that.
I'm tired of your attitude. You're always putting me down.
I never said you were fat. I just got...
See? You said I was fat again.
No, you said you were fat.
Some things aren't worth debating. Some things are. Live presidential debate coverage and reaction. Friday night on Sirius Right 142, Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius NPR Now 106.
Honey?
Shut up.
Has someone offended you? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. If a family member, friend, coworker, or even a boss has said or done something to upset you, what should you do? Tell other people? Well, no. You need to go to that person and gently let them know how they've hurt you. If they don't respond, bring along one or two other people and approach them again. In doing all this, be sure you're coming to them with clean hands, without any grudges of your own. When you work for unity in your relationships, you'll be amazed at the results. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Racing thoughts. Horrible images crept through my mind. I thought I was seeing the devil and kept asking my friends if I was dead. It felt like I was having a heart attack. When we got to the hospital, I was committed to the psychiatric ward. I spent the next 14 days there.
17-year-old Lynn Smith had always heard ecstasy was the harmless and happy drug, which is only true if she'd never used it. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Welcome to Tape 5, The Backpat. Let's say your child comes home from high school. They did something good. It's time to give them The Backpat. Now you try The Backpat. That's it. and pat, pat, pat.
It's really not that difficult. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you're blind or unable to read because of physical impairment, we'll mail you free recorded selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes. For 8 hours of great writing every other month, call 516-883-8280 or write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
Pest control secret. You know, people aren't the only ones who flock to the water this time of year. Millions of ants do, too. So it's common to find them near dishwashers and kitchen sinks. If you spot a few strolling along your kitchen counter with beach umbrellas and little teeny tiny flip-flops, you're not the only one. To end this pool party, call me at Orkin. We've been helping to protect homes for over 100 years. Well, this is the Orkin Man saying, if it bugs you, bug me at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
I try to teach my children what's important in life. So instead of Fruit Loops cereal, I buy Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's cereal. Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's tastes just as good and has all the same vitamins and minerals, plus more vitamin A and calcium. And we get 50% more cereal for about the same price. Lesson?
I know, it's what's inside that counts.
Look for Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's and over 20 other popular flavors, because Maltomeal means more. Part of a balanced breakfast. Claim based on net weight comparison of 22.5 ounces to 15 ounces. Fruit Loops is a registered trademark of Kellogg Company.
Hey, it's 48 past the hour, coming in from landing here. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Uh-huh.
Rob Corddry is here. We are now going to read the Mad Libs we did. We just had John Wayne on the line. That's not a Mad Lib. That's his real name. John Wayne from Boston helping us fill in the blanks. Mad Lib style on John Kerry's alleged cheat sheet from the debate. And I think if he pulled anything out, it was a pen, and we ought to check on that because this thing's going to pass. The thing is, the Republicans cannot even stand the idea that they lost anything. Oh, I can't stand them. Can you? Are you allowed to be partisan?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Rob Corddry. Here's the complete text from Kerry's cheat sheet. Blast Bush for ignoring breakfast and a punch in the face while focusing on shaking his hand. Nothing, huh? Corner Bush into defending his multilateral talks with Kim Snork Eel.
Okay.
All right. Remind voters of service in Vietnam War while Bush used his daddy's face to avoid combat and spent his time running and snorting smack instead of fulfilling his duties. Nothing. Dead. This is a great idea, Larson. I'm really glad we did the Larson's like, yay, we'll do another Mad Lib, and you know, look where it's going. Here we go. Right. Remember to thank his jerks, Jenna and Barbara. He hates them. Don't mention Poland. Okay, one quick reference to Charles de Passe. This is good stuff, Larson. This is a good idea. Clutch Larson is just unclutched. Here we go. Mention the troops had Osama bin Laden trapped in a cup, but he outsourced the capture of Osama bin Laden to Enron. Yeah, that's great, dude. This is great. I hope we do these every week now, Jonathan Larson. This is a great idea. Saddam Hussein wasn't the real enemy. Tony Blair was the enemy. That's great. This is a good bit, Jonathan. This is really great. Yeah. Announce that I will convene a global boxing for peace. I will make Homeland Ham a priority. Homeland Ham a priority is the capper. That was very funny that he'll make Homeland Ham a priority. Come on, Corddry, say something funny.
It's I think that wasn't funny because it just really hits home.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I think it makes us all a little sad. Homeland Ham is just not something you joke about.
You're right. I think you're right. I think that's why nobody
left
here.
The terrorists beat that one out of us. We can't use that one anymore.
Krieger's sitting there going, I wonder if that Corddry fellow is available for Mark's position.
Oh, Lord.
So what are you here doing? Because I've tried to get you guys on before, but there's some sort of, like, you know, you guys are not allowed to do anything.
No, only when we're plugging a book.
Oh, so there's a book.
Only there's a book.
Yes.
The toilet book,
yes.
I call it, because that's when I read it.
Uh-huh. What's sad about that is you actually read your own book in the toilet.
In the toilet, yeah. And I read it, so I get to read it like six times a day. That's true.
Considering how much time we've established you spend in your underwear.
Exactly. And it's a funny book.
Wow. It's from the Daily Show? It's funny?
It's a funny book.
Of course it's a funny book.
It's a revisionist history text.
Okay.
In which all of the Supreme Court judges appear naked.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they're all naked.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, for, I guess, people who are into that. Judicial porn.
Sandra Day O'Connor?
Yes. Naked.
She's like 99 naked. Years old.
Yes. It? Yes. Oh. I didn't say it was attractive. No, it's not sexy at all. It's to prove a point.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Man, Corky, I can't tell when you're being serious or not, man. You're screwing my head, dude.
I'm very serious. I'm highly serious.
Uh-oh.
What else is in the book, though?
But that is really in the book.
Okay.
They really are naked.
And what are some fun things? What will make people go, wow, I'm going to buy that book?
Wow, I'm getting my news from this book.
Only young people.
Well, I do I have a section of the book called The Founding Mothers.
Really? Does it tone like that?
It's written that way.
The letters actually go up to the right of the page?
Yeah, it's impossible. We did a lot of focus groups on it. It's impossible not to read it like that. Because the first pass, it read like, the founding mothers, and that's just not funny.
No.
And apparently, in doing my research for this piece, women had something to do with the founding of our nation.
Well, yeah, that's
sure. It's a controversial idea.
You got to come with something stronger than that to make him a believer.
Like it's a controversial idea.
Uh-huh.
But for instance, Molly Pitcher.
Yes.
Brought things to people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Any more than that?
I can't really remember. I really can't. You're going to have to read the book. Betsy Ross did something. Sewing.
Yeah.
I mean.
But she added a little bit to the thing.
The thing.
Yes.
National fabric
stuff to the thing.
Yeah. National fabric.
I'm already in hot water with a couple of women listeners over something I said last week. Well, you know, I don't know if you get these kind of emails at the at the Daily Show, but occasionally we'll get an email in from a listener that's sort of like, why don't you do this? You're doing this wrong.
Uh-oh.
You people are stupid, and I think that Mark Maron should leave. Right. So,
still here, though, right?
It's not just a critical assessment of the show. It's, you know, they're taking a shot. So when I take a shot back, then I get another woman going, you shouldn't have taken that shot back. And I think I'm speaking for all women. And, you know, they're not.
No, were you just trying to be funny? What was the context? Was
no,
it
I was trying to be sophomoric, and they misunderstood it as being sophomoric.
No. You can't be sophomoric.
What are you going to say? You're going to tell me that?
You cannot be sophomoric. I've never known a second of sophomore humor.
On the Daily Show?
No. Never.
Never.
They're too important. We're too important.
You know what? I'm not even going to, you know, argue with you, but I know there's sophomore humor on your show.
I am actually sort of, to be honest, the poop joke guy there. I'm sort of the go-to...
Your go-to poop
sophomore guy? And you know what I've been told?
Yes.
And this might be interesting for you guys. I appeal to the red states.
Is that true?
Yeah.
How'd you get that information?
Because Colbert told me.
Oh, see.
So, yeah.
Do all you guys talk in this weird cryptic tone of half serious, not serious?
Yes.
Yes. So none of you know
but
when
don't
anyone's
you,
being
like,
serious?
You've been on the New York comedy scene forever. That's how people talk in New York.
See, he didn't like that forever.
Was forever a good thing? Yeah, I'm not self-conscious about it, but yeah. I don't want to be like, I tried to leave.
You have failed forever.
No, this is a weird thing, because I actually left, and one of the reasons I moved to L.A. before I came back to do this was like, if I stay here any longer, I'm going to be that guy, like the godfather of alternative comedy in New York. This guy's been around since day one.
Yeah.
No, I don't talk like that with my friends, and I guess
that's good.
You
shouldn't.
Because I'm an oddball.
It's not
like that. But most people are sort of, you know, kind of cagey and defensive and condescending.
Exactly.
You know, like, you know,
like me.
Yeah. And
it's a horrible way to speak. You'd never know. I don't never know when any of my friends are telling the truth.
Well, then you walk away from a conversation if you're sort of a relatively honest guy that can't pretend like I do. You know, I walk away from having a conversation like you thinking like, did he just say something? Did he just
exactly.
say something? And you like that, right?
No, I don't. Because I feel the same way. I think, you know, I just end up feeling bad. All the time.
No, you don't. You do
I
not.
Do.
You
get, I do.
All right.
I'm sad right now. I'm really sad. And I can't pinpoint why.
Do you guys, like, do you ever, like, get into this with women? I mean, do you walk away and think, well, damn, was she really thinking I was good or was, you know?
With my wife, who's the only woman that I really have any engagement
any
with.
Any contact with, I understand.
There days go by where I feel like I've somehow failed most days.
With my wife, actually, every time after we make love,
yes,
she gives me sort of a checklist, a rundown of what I could do better.
Wow. Let's go to the board.
Yeah, let's go to the board. See what you've...
I guess charts.
Look at Krieger. This is not the the idea we had for the station to be talking about sex and nonsense.
Right, I know. I'm,
he had big dreams for this show, you know, Doug Krieger. He's a CEO of Air America.
Yes.
Sorry,
and,
you know,
and he's here to see you.
I know, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize. See, this is the thing.
The
I am ultimately...
Show guy sucked us right into the gutter, Krieger.
That's true.
I am ultimately disappointing to people, because God. People are going to think that I know a little bit more.
Oh, no.
Than
I'll walk
and
upstairs.
And that's always not true.
I'll walk upstairs and Shelley, though, I thought he was great. I mean, Maren couldn't keep up with him. I just thought that Corgi was great, because...
Maren, too old.
Yeah, way too old. Did you see Stuart last night? Not only was Corgi good on Stuart last night, but he was great with you guys. So I thought you kind of dropped the ball, Maren.
Well, listen, I'm doing a Carson Daly tonight.
Okay,
the real hard-hitting stuff.
There's our liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Thank you, Rob Corgi, for being here. Good luck with the book, and
continued
success on that
show.
Thanks very
much.
All right. I can't even mock them, because the Daily Show is like that. No, that's beyond anything. That's the greatest. Here's one. Study a shark's tail to see if any animated dolphins get caught in nets.
Nothing.
Two. Have a tribal shaman visit Edwards and take him on a mind-expanding pre-debate vision quest. Three. Insist that... Did you hear the setup of this?
No.
The liberal agenda that we're saying...
Oh, got it.
Yeah, so you weren't even listening.
Four.
Three. Insist all debates hire a signer for the hearing impaired. One-armed Sudanese lesbian preferred.
That's funny.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Four. Attend Vote for Change concert. If the crowd starts doing the wave, make sure it only goes to the left.
Yeah,
you got that, yeah. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Yeah, it's hard work. Ever tried being an idiot for a whole day?
All right.
On tomorrow's morning's edition, we preview the vice presidential debate, and one of us wrestles a Republican. Plus, Maren talked to REM bassist Mike Mills in Philly. We'll hear that tomorrow, and much more here on Air America Radio. Have a good one.
You too.